all that noise?
I don't know. My earphones are being weird. Is this the same earphone? Yeah, I think these are earphones from my Southwest flight a few months ago. Hey, man. Never throw anything away. You may need them, you know? Yeah. Hoard earphones, earbuds. Toronto in the morning on TorontoShow.com. Good morning. Happy Friday. The day after the Broncos barely win a game. Ooh, their first opener, man. Well, I guess it's an opener. So they won. Barely. I watched it. I didn't watch the whole game. Pretty much I was flipping back and forth. But after the second half was well into the second half, I should say, I started watching it. Then it got a little gritty. Oh, it was the Super Bowl rematch is what it comes down to. So the Broncos win 21-20. And just, I mean, yeah, there was, of course, luck, fortune, whatever you want to call it. But good, well played. They took a timeout before the winning, the seconds ran out. Because the Panthers were going to get a field goal. And they the Broncos took a timeout. The guy kicked it. The Panthers kicker kicked it as the timeout was called by the Broncos, and it did go through the uprights. Well, they took the timeout. 30 seconds later, he kicked it again. It didn't go through the uprights. So well played, Coach Kubiak. Excellent. And I guarantee you the people that actually stayed up there at the game, it was a home game up in Denver. Down in Denver, actually. It's a lower elevation. Have to be specific about that, you know. Anyway, I bet those folks were very happy. My cousin and I saw my cousin talking about it on Facebook, and I said out there, I said, well, I bet Derek's voice is hoarse because he and his dad went up there. And he's like, yeah, I can't even talk. I'm sure they were just screaming and yelling. So good, the Broncos won. Some fun, vicarious excitement for Bronco fans. Although, yes, Brandon Marshall took a knee during the national anthem. I don't know why. I suspect it had something to do with the Kaepernick thing. But he was, early in the game, taken to the locker room because of an injury. So I don't know. I'm not gonna suspect him of anything at this point. Of course I do, but well, you know, whatever. I don't know. There's a lot of ignorance in the NFL, and they better wake up. There is no doubt about it. I don't care if it's the Broncos, Seattle Seahawks, whatever. These people that are playing football games for big money had best wise up, because, and, you know, and Rush made this point last week, and he's absolutely 100% correct. If they pull this kind of stuff, American voters, American citizens, American fans of football will say, you know what? It ain't worth it to watch these putrid little punks that are expressing their opposition to oppression that doesn't even exist. And if this goes on, it's going to be very, very tough. It's a domino effect. And people will turn off their TVs, the beer, and the Cheetos, and the soft drinks, and whatever. They're going to stop advertising because nobody's watching the football anymore. And they're going to shoot themselves in the foot, the knee, and their ACL. I mean, this is exactly what's going to happen if they keep this stuff up. They better have a conversation with it. You know, there's a guy on, I don't remember what his name is, but he's a hockey coach. He said, none of this stuff is going on my team. If you sit down for the national anthem, you're going to sit down the whole game. That's all. You want to play? Then you better show some respect to the flag. That's what, you're here to play a game, okay? And if you have some artificial opposition to oppression that doesn't exist, you take that outside, okay? And, or you find another vocation where you can sit down on the job. That's all. It's very simple. It's very, and Americans won't put up with it. We just won't. I like the Broncos. It's fun to watch. Yay. Yay team. Orange Crush. Right? But if somebody's going to have to sit out, it's not going to end well for them. They will be blackballed. That's all there is to it. And they should be. It's embarrassing. Now, I'm going to look this up real quick. Seahawks, because this is, I saw this last night. It's not going to be about football today, I promise. Somebody has said, or on some website, here we go. Here it is. This is from the Huffington Post. It says, Seattle Seahawks are planning some sort of national anthem protest. 2 weeks after the San Francisco 49ers quarterback loser Colin Kaepernick national anthem, I added loser, the sit-down grabbed headline, Seattle Seahawks could be ready to join him. Well, that won't be I know it's Seattle, believe me, I get it. It's all lefty, liberal, bloody blah. But Seahawks defensive back Jeremy Lane has already done so. Lane sat down during the national anthem before Seattle's final preseason game against Oakland. But now it seems the entire Seahawks team is planning something during their season opener against Miami on Sunday. Oh, and by the way, Sunday is 9/11. Okay, let me just make sure, because I have a show on Sunday. Yes, it's 9/11, and so that's an opener for a lot of NFL games. And so if these people decide that they're going to sit out the national anthem on not only the day that 9/11 happened in 2001, well, it's not going to go well. I know apparently leftists don't see through the forest through the trees. Let me just read this. First sign that more Seahawks players may join Lane and Kaepernick came from veteran wide receiver Doug Baldwin, who told the Seattle Times on Wednesday that he has considered sitting through the anthem. Quote, "I've considered it. I want to make sure I get all of my ducks in a row before I do so. Well, you better." Linebacker Bobby Wagner told the Times that whatever the team decides to do, quote, "it's not going to be individual, it's going to be a team thing." That's what the world needs to see. The world needs to see people coming together versus being individuals. Collectivism. Yeah, it's great. It's not great. Wagner added that it would be a big surprise. Oh, on Thursday afternoon, Baldwin posted a cryptic tweet about the team's plans, and here it is. This is Doug Baldwin over there. He says, quote, "to express a desire to bring people together, our team will honor the country and flag in a pregame demonstration of unity." Well, how does that work? I don't know, but meanwhile, Lane has repeatedly said that he plans to continue sitting through the pregame ritual, and Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll has expressed support for his right to do so. Okay. You know, remember, folks, and we know this, NFL is very liberal. All the sports teams, most of the ownership, this is who they are. We know this. And so far, those of us who are fans, we've let that slide. We want to see a good game. That's all. We don't care what their politics are. I don't care. It's like a singer. It's like an actor. I don't care. You're best to keep your mouth shut if you're a lib. Guaranteed. I guarantee you. But many of them don't, and they show their ignorance. Or worse. Kaepernick's protest first drew attention. Of course, we all know about that. Blah, blah, blah. So, we'll see what happens. By the way, the first name of the Seahawks linebacker, Bobby Wagner, was wrong in an earlier version of the story. It says there's a correction. Well, we'll see what happens on Sunday to find out exactly what the Seahawks have planned. Well, isn't that just to get the eyeballs to the TV set? Yeah, it could very well be. But I just wanted to put that out there. Glad the Broncos won. Not exactly sure why Brandon Marshall took a knee. He didn't sit down on the bench, but he took a knee. And then he got injured. Or maybe he was injured. I don't know. Benefit of the doubt. Always. I always give the benefit of the doubt. You don't know for sure. So I'm willing to sit back and see what happened. And, you know, it's just, don't we have bigger fish to fry? I think so. I mean, and are these people that ignorant? Yes, Tron, they are. Oh, okay. No, it has nothing to do with concussions. No, that's Hillary's problem. Anyway, Tron on the morning at TronShow.com. It's a world gone crazy. So let's look at some other headlines here. And there is a story I want to read verbatim from my friend Daniel Horowitz over at conservativereview.com, McConnell's double budget betrayal. He's starting it up again, and it's not surprising. But before that, in Denver also, and I heard this on my KVOR show when I was coming over here, or not my show, my station. Governor Hickenlooper rappels Denver skyscraper to raise money for cancer research. Well, that's admirable. Governor John Hickenlooper rappels down a skyscraper downtown Denver. He rappelled down a 32-story building on 16th Street Mall Thursday to support Cancer League of Colorado's Over the Edge fundraiser in Denver. That's novel. It's definitely unique. He apparently is afraid of heights, but he's strapped into rappel gear. Can you talk? To help raise money for the Cancer League of Colorado. Okay, cool. Hickenlooper donning an orange Broncos jersey went over the edge of 1600 Glenarm Place, a 32-story, 380-foot-tall residential tower. And he said that he was relieved to be back on solid ground. Quote, "I wouldn't say I was the fastest guy down the skyscraper, but I'd like to say I had some ballet moves up there." I'm sure he did. Anyway, good cause. That's fine. I'm sure there are other reasons he did it. Look at me. Look at me. Please, Hillary, pick me. Pick me. I'll crawl down buildings for you. So that's interesting. Only in Colorado, folks. Only in Colorado. Now, what is this? Uh-oh, I just got an email about more football here. Let's see here. It says, NFL season kicks off with, yeah, here we go. This is the Brandon Marshall. I got to go back to this because it just popped up, and it's in my state. The NFL season kicks off with player taking a knee during national anthem, but he's not praying. This is Kyle Becker. He writes for Independent Journal, or IJR, if you will. National Football League kicked off regular season with the national anthem, but there was at least one disgruntled player who felt the need to put on a show in support of Colin Kaepernick. Well, maybe this is exactly what he was doing then. Maybe I have my answer now. If you were somehow on a desert island for the past few weeks, Colin Kaepernick fueled a debate. We all know that. We don't have to go through that. Let's see here. He was joined in support by several players, one of them being Denver Broncos' Brandon Marshall. This is what he said on behalf of Kaepernick, his ex-teammate at Nevada, according to the Colorado Springs Gazette. And that's our paper here. Way overpriced, by the way. Okay, well, now I know the answer. Here it is. Quote, "I support Colin. I support Cap. I understand where he's coming from," Marshall said. "I definitely see what he's saying. I support him on that. I'm not mad at him for that. Some people are bashing him on the internet, but I'm not bashing him at all. I support him. Cap, he's using his platform, how he wants to use it, to reach the masses. We have freedom of speech, but then we use our platform and then we get bashed for it. It's almost like they want us to only go with the grain. And once we go with the grain, once we go against the grain, it's an issue. I feel for Cap. I understand where he's coming from, and I support him." So, at last night's game, Brandon Marshall took a knee during the national anthem, but it's clear he wasn't praying. That's true. He was looking around. All right. Well, now we know. Now I know. No more benefit of the doubt. Yeah, it's a flag, Brandon. This flag represents the country, okay? That's what it does. And our military has fought for it for years. But you can't tell these people that, folks. No, you can't, because they've got way too much money, and they're enclosed in a bubble, and they're playing games, and they're trying to be seen, and they're trying to get all that attention. And Brandon Marshall's a good player, but he's obviously an idiot. I mean, let's just face it, okay? So you keep this up, guys. I'm telling you, you keep this up, and you're not going to have an audience. You're not going to have a job, or you're going to have a lot less money for the job that you're playing, because there will only be a fraction of people watching. I guarantee you people will turn it off. They will. They're not putting up with this stuff. You disrespect the flag, really? I mean, you're a football player. You know, what if the mailmen, what if the plumbers, what if the welders? I mean, they don't have that quote-unquote platform that you have. And if they did, they wouldn't use it for that. Because they're not stupid. They at least understand that the flag represents everybody. And there is no oppression in this country. If there's any oppression, we talked about this I don't know how many times, the Democrats are the oppressive party. But they're not getting that through their skull. I don't know, maybe the helmets are too thick. All right, enough about that. We'll see where it goes. But good God, it's so stupid. McConnell, here he is. Double budget betrayal begins. This is my friend Daniel Horowitz. Annual budget is the most powerful tool given over to the party that controls Congress, right? Okay, you got to follow on this because this is important. And Daniel makes very clear points. It is a tool that can be used to express priorities and worldview of the party. And it can be used as a platform, there's that word again, to present their case for a White House win. Well, in the sane world, like non-crazy world, Republicans would have immediately presented their budget this week. Funded every agency and every department, even the bad ones, and functions like Obamacare that will have to wait for future leverage points, albeit prohibited funding for some of the most damaging and imminent problems facing the country. Obama's refugee increase, the internet giveaway, the payments to Iran, to name a few. The bill would include emergency funding for Zika, but stipulate that leftover funds from Ebola must be used first, and that no funding can go to Planned Parenthood. All right. Republicans could have spoken with moral clarity to the American people. That Democrats who refuse to pass a budget when they control Congress better not shut down the government in order to fund Iran, turn America into Europe's security nightmare, and hand off America's greatest invention to a tribunal influenced by Russia and China. That'd be the internet. If Democrats want to shut down the government and not fight Zika because they want funding for a private entity under criminal investigation for harvesting baby parts, let them have at it. When you actually believe in something, especially regarding popular issues that resonate with voters, it's not too hard to message it. But these GOP leaders believe in nothing beyond pursuing the path to least resistance. Democrats embrace confrontation as a means of promoting their agenda, even when it's unpopular. Republicans abjure confrontation, even when it is politically advantageous for them. Go along, get along. So here comes Mitch McConnell. Instead of throwing a touchdown, he actually plans to toss an interception and use the GOP control of the Senate to undermine conservatives in the House. This is another example why it was actually worse to win back the Senate with rhinos in 14 than to have Democrats control that body. Now, McConnell is preemptively undermining House conservatives by openly calling for Harry Reid's plan of continuing resolution that fully funds Obama's agenda with no significant expression of American priorities, much less conservative ones. Daniel Horowitz goes on. He says, there are also late reports indicating that McConnell plans to capitulate and drop the prohibition on funding Planned Parenthood in the Zika bill, as suggested by Senators Rubio and Mark Kirk. earlier this week. Now, this runs counter to the House bill passed earlier this year, and it's essentially a fight with the Senate Republicans, Senate Democrats, and Obama on one side, and House conservatives on another side. House leadership pretending to fight for conservatives, as usual, while allowing McConnell to orchestrate the sabotage for them. Pretty insidious, right? There's more. Now, what's worse is McConnell's also siding with Harry Reid against conservatives by demanding that the budget bill expire in December during the lame duck session instead of some time in 2017. If Republicans plan to surrender and not go for a touchdown by harnessing the budget leverage to force good policy, at the very least, they should be prevented from tossing an interception and tacking on bad policy to the must-pass budget bill. So by having this iteration of the CR, continuing resolution, expire during the lame duck session, history shows that retiring members act out as political suicide bombers and use the must-pass vehicle as a conduit for extraneous liberal bills. All sorts of bad bill could potentially hitch a ride on budget bill in December. That's exactly right. Just the last part here. Despite McConnell's betrayal, the House Freedom Caucus must hold their ground and demand, at the very least, that number one, any budget bill not expired during the lame duck session. Number two, Obama's refugee program has got to be defunded, and no gimmick provisions like the one the House passed last year. If they don't stand firm and do so quickly, McConnell will have the ball in the wrong end zone within days. And purposefully, folks, purposefully. And we all know that. That's Mitch McConnell. By the way, no, Paul Ryan is no bargain either. But this is what's going on. And you know that, but the description of it by Daniel Horowitz is helpful, it's profound, and it should make your blood boil. Don is on Tron in the morning. Good morning, Don.
And I would also recommend, now that his commentary series is complete, Why Conservatives Lost, I say look up Why Conservatives Lost, parts 1 through 7 from Steve Bays on Conservative Review.
Alrighty then.
It is very enlightening, and it is presenting why conservatives need to change their ways, and the last one probably spoke really to me, that we need to start protesting and, for the lack of a better term, raging against the machine.
Yeah, well, gotta do something,
I mean, you just can't just vote Republican anymore. You just can't do that.
No, you've gotta do, you, of course, I think most people understand that. Well, most people, a lot of people don't, actually. Some people are happy with the go-along, get-along.
So they're just happy voting Republican and believing that they'll do the right thing. That's the problem.
Well, and it's very general in their mind. It's just like I bring up the example here in Colorado when Doug Lamborn was being opposed by a lady named Calandra Vargas. People just said, oh, no, Doug's just fine. Doug's just fine. Well, Doug's a Republican. I understand that. But he's not an effectual one.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I mean,
no, it doesn't.
This is the problem. As long as, you know, they know that they're going to get reelected, they're going to become incompetent, and they're going to do what they please.
Yeah.
Now Doug Lamborn is not Mitch McConnell, but, you know, you...
No, he's not.
He'll appease them, you know, and...
Well, or he'll avoid the issue. He'll avoid the issue. He'll fly under the radar. That's what Doug is. Doug is he flies under that radar, man.
And he's very good at it. And, I mean, you know... You know, people are afraid to punish the Republican Party because they don't want to be punished by the Democrats. And I think
they
what Jordan has been pointing out is that, you know what, we have to be thrown to the lions, and we have to be thrown to the furnace, because that's when people will remember you. I mean, it's not always nice, and it's not always kind, but stuff like that, I mean, people will remember.
Yeah. Well, what it takes, not only in the House, but some Senate members, and there are Lee and Cruz.
Course, and of course, Mitch McConnell, and of course, the Cookie Monster's just going to give Obama what he wants.
Exactly. He's been doing it ever since he became the leader. And he was voting for him before that, too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, you know, we just want to wait and win another election and all that. I mean, and all that, you know. Who are you afraid of? Are you afraid of Obama? Are you afraid of the media?
He's afraid of the media. They're afraid of the media. They hate stories written about them that just make it just upsets them.
Then why stay Republican? Just become a Democrat.
I know. Exactly. Just call it a day and go over to Harry Reid's place, have coffee, and sign up.
And yet, that's right. I mean, because that media is part of the Democratic cult.
There's no question about it. And that's exactly where the media knows the soft spots in the House and the Senate. And there's a lot of them.
And they are very committed to the Democratic Party and to its agenda.
Uh-huh. We're just talking about Brandon Marshall. Yes.
And, you know, I'm not buying what he's saying. I mean, you know, you're caught up into this Black Lives Matter, which is nothing more but a Marxist movement. I mean,
That's all it is.
No different than Occupy Wall Street.
It's built on a lie, and it's been perpetuated by liars, and now these people out there that don't do their own homework, I don't care if you're a football player or you're cleaning a pool.
And they attack us when we say all lives matter.
Right.
Because it's true.
It is exactly right. And you
but
want...
But they're also putting Black Lives Matter because it advances a narrative by the progressive left.
That's right. And you know, and that's the thing. We shouldn't even have to say, it shouldn't even have to be said, all lives matter. Oh, really? Oh, when did that come about? We didn't know this. I mean, come on.
No, it doesn't matter. It is once again, and we're starting to see it now. Sooner or later, they're going to just do away with the national anthem at the beginning of sports and all of that stuff.
Well,
it's only going to pull down our country and the pride even more.
Well, that, and I think, though, I really do think that people will say, hey, enough is enough, and they will. They'll say, you know what, I'm going to turn off my TV set. I like the Denver Broncos. I like the Seattle Seahawks. I like the whatever. But I'm not going to watch this if this is what this is turning into. This isn't even fun anymore. I mean, and all the pompous asses that are the commentators, I can't believe the liberalism in sports right now. I mean, even on our own station, we got a couple of sports guys, and they're as liberal as they get. But this, because...
Oh,
you darn right I am.
I mean, I don't even really watch the local news anymore.
I don't either, dude. I don't either. I watch Rob Cork. That's it. That's all I ever watch is Channel 5 and 30.
And who knows how long Rob Cork's going to be at 5.
Right. Lisa Lydon's gone. Yeah.
And I mean, and Lisa Lydon's retired. I mean,
yeah. Again.
It's only a matter of time. And I mean, all of these news outlets are kind of, I mean, these young journalists know nothing. They've been terrible.
Oh, yeah. It's starting to flood. It's starting to flood.
From the colleges to the New York newsroom.
That's exactly right.
Pretty much just how the national news dominates.
Yeah, everybody in the journalism department and TV's got that Columbia journalism mindset, which is completely leftist.
And then you wonder why they're dying and why some of these websites are popping up like Conservative Review.
That's right.
I mean, I'm distancing myself from Red State. I might agree with them on Donald Trump, but I think they're kind of going a little bit off the wall.
I would agree with you. In fact, there's this big old article that I think one of the Howe, I don't know if it was Ben Howe or Caleb Howe, wrote about Rush. Rush is wrong about the Flight 93 article. Well, actually, no, he's not. But okay, write your piece.
They're really going off the wall.
They are.
Conservative Review, I mean, fine. Steve Gates is never Trump. Ben Shapiro's never Trump. But they use logic.
Yes. And you know what? They get along. Levin, he's the senior editor over there. He lets them write what they want. And you know what? That's real journalism.
And I don't like these never Trump trolls going after Levin either.
No.
I didn't like the Trump train trolls either.
No. I agree with you. There are some people out there, these full tilt Trumpers out there that have just made me they were disgusting.
This is what Steve Gates is trying to avoid.
Well, I understand that.
Personality.
Yes, but both sides fall into it.
Too many people fall into it. And I'm dealing with it. I told you I'd be losing some friends, and people are calling me names because I'm not doing this or that. I try to present a very rational viewpoint on mine, that on why people are not going to vote for Trump, and why I still think Hillary still has a chance.
Yes, and you say...
And you know what? And Cookie Monster just proved it.
Sure. Cookie Monster referring to Mitch McConnell. Well, yeah, these friends that you say that are no longer friends. Well, they weren't friends in the first place, obviously.
I mean, real
friends. I'm not talking about Facebook friends. I mean,
I know they're not just Facebook friends. I know them personally.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. Well, that's too bad.
And you know what? I said this before. You're gonna have talk. There's gonna be talk show hosts. I mean, one of them just said, you know, you're unpatriotic if you're not voting Republican or whatever.
Who was it?
You work with these people.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. I don't care. I mean, the names are fine. I don't care about that. I know that Sean Hannity's got a beef with Glenn Beck and all
and,
this.
And I'll tell you privately, you know. I don't want to burn. Now, I don't want to burn anybody.
Okay, I got you. I understand. All right, man. I got
one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Twitter, you know, there was a story in LifeNews.com about some people that were happy that Phyllis Schlafly died.
Yeah, okay.
I want to get this out.
Yeah.
One of them is a writer for a new satire show on HBO.
Okay.
Shows a lot of TNA.
Right.
you have another New York comedian.
Is that Samantha Bee?
You know, these people think like animals, and you know, to them, sex is no different than eating and drinking.
But right,
the worst
right.
of them, the worst of them all, is this young feminist millennial. Well, I didn't say anything to her or said anything directly, but yet she blocked me from Twitter. I mean, there was something she might have said that she didn't like, but the reality is that she contracted herpes, and personally, I think she's really a slut, and she still continues to write erotic stories.
Erotic prose?
And she was saying that, and prior to that, I thought I was the one that killed David Bowie.
Oh.
But she said that George Lafferty took David Bowie and Prince away from us.
Okay, I mean, well, that's crazy town.
She's a freaking slut. She's contributed herpes, and I mean, she writes...
Wait, is this a famous person?
This is just a blogger.
Oh, well then, who gives a crap, right?
I forget her name, I mean, but I told you off the air.
I can't remember the name.
But I mean, you can look up some of my...
your posts, okay.
Wrote to you on Facebook, you can look those up, and then you can tell the audience.
Okay. Yeah, well, no, look, you're going to have this faction of people out there. They're going to do this. They're going to, and believe me, I see it on my page, my little news personality page, and all these people, the nasty words kind of coming out. And then if you say something like, gosh, the left sure is mean, and they say, how can you say that when we had lefties fighting for our country? And now, all of a sudden, they start caring about their country. I mean, it's just a bunch of flapjack gum, tummy gummers. I mean, they're fools. And, you know, they're not even worth responding to. Casting pearl to swine, I understand that. Sometimes I do respond, but I know it's in vain.
Well, and one more thing. I'm kind of glad that Donald Trump is bringing up the Iraq war. And
sure.
I think I'm siding. I mean, he's kind of taking Peter Boyle's side, even though he does not know who Peter Boyle's is.
Right.
Regarding how we should have stayed out of it in the first place tonight. And we shouldn't have got out of it. I mean, we should have never gotten involved in all. And,
right.
And I'll tell you, and getting back to, you know, the Trump cult, at least I had a rational conversation yesterday with somebody on how to convince people to vote for Trump. And, I mean, you know, it took us 2 hours to do that because, I mean, I had to tell them, you know, you just can't throw your Christianity on this one because, I mean, people are not going to buy it, not anymore.
Good call, man.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man, you take care. Thanks. There goes Don on Tron in the morning at TronShow.com. It's Friday morning. We are live on the internets from Colorado Springs. Let's see here. What is my schedule? Yep. Oh, I'll be rocking out on KKFM tonight, I think. Yeah. Then it's Sunday, of course, on 740 KVOR. And we're going to do a little tribute to Phyllis Schlafly. We're going to have Ed Martin on. He's scheduled. And she, the late, great Phyllis Schlafly, and he, Ed Martin, who is the president of Eagle Forum, put together a book, and it's out now. And it's called The Conservative Case for Trump. That's what it's called. It's a cool cover, too. You got to check it out. I think I posted it. But anyway, that's on Sunday as well. But right now, it's Friday. No Dorothy Leeds today. She was a little under the weather this week, so we're going to let her take a pass and get better. Okay? Hillary Clinton. The Hill. From The Hill. Anxious Democrats urge Clinton to open up. What do you mean, open up? Well, it could be the press. Let's find out, shall we? Democratic senator. They're not Democratic. Democrat senators, anxious over Hillary's inability to pull away from Trump, have some advice for their nominee. Isn't that nice? Be more open. Show your soul. What soul? I know. Her dark soul. Focus on the economy and talk about blue-collar jobs. Recent polls show Trump within striking distance of Clinton, defying predictions in Washington. You see? We've been saying this all along. If Trump's going to be the GOP nominee, then all of these bloggers and all of these writers and all of these predictors and all of these people with the little crystal ball and the tea leaves, don't even listen to them. I mean, you can look at the polls, and they're probably somewhat close to being right. But these people out there writing, and they just write, and they write, and they sit in their little bubbles. There's no way Donald Trump can get the swing states. Oh, really? I don't know that. Because, you see, Trump is, he's an unknown quantity, isn't he? I mean, we know who he is, but this has never happened, at least in my lifetime. And so they can't predict, they can't project. So what are they going to do? Well, now they're telling Hillary to actually campaign. So funny. Recent poll showing Trump within striking distance. Yeah, I know. We got 2 months left. Was it 60 some days left? Here we go. I don't know. It could go either way, folks. It could go either way. Sadly, but it could. Now, Trump's ability to stay competitive, the story says, while running an unconventional campaign has underscored what Democrat lawmakers see as the need for Clinton to improve in certain areas. Well, the problem with Hillary is she's a liar and she's a conniver and she's got all kinds of scandals. So if she wants to open up, if she's gonna, maybe she ought to come out and start telling the truth. And sadly, if she did, that might increase her support. I don't know. Again, it's a guess. These lawmakers struggle to reconcile the charismatic, warm, and funny woman they know in private with Clinton's public persona, who can come across as stern and aloof or annoyed. Well, she is. There's, I don't know how many instances of stories of her being just nasty, throwing things and cussing out Secret Service. She's not funny. She's not warm. Nothing of the sort, this woman. Democrat senators say it's natural for Clinton to put up her guard because, well, you know, she's been the target of Republican attacks for decades. The poor thing. Vast right-wing conspiracy, and, you know, it's just so hurtful. But they think she might benefit from a relaxing, an attitude that's more relaxed on the campaign trail. Quote, her decades in this arena have taken their toll, said Dianne Feinstein, Democrat freak show in California. Senator Dianne Feinstein, when you're hit a lot, there's almost an unconscious shield that controls the answers to your questions. I think she's got to get rid of that and just let herself be. Just go with the flow, Hillary. Be yourself. But she is. Sorry, Dianne. No, you're talking about a persona that doesn't exist. She's being herself. And she's probably holding back. Oh, my goodness. She's holding back. I can't imagine the anger and the hate that's in that woman. But anyway, Vice President Biden, he offered similar advice this week. He called on her to be more open. Clinton has the most difficulty connecting with white working class voters. I know, ID politics. A nationwide CNN poll released Tuesday showed Trump beating Clinton among white voters without college degrees. 66% to 23%. I love that. The educated people like Hillary. The non-educated like Trump. Now, who created that? Well, the pollsters. And what does educated mean? Well, it means you went to university. It means you have a doctorate or you have a degree. You have a BS. You have a PhD. You have schooling. You have higher education. You're above it all, you know. Much farther above than welders and plumbers. And by the way, the plumbers make a lot of money, so do welders. But no. Those are just jobs, see? Those are just jobs. They're not highly educated vocations. And you see the highly educated who have the vocations that are the next step to highly educated people is, of course, an extrasensory situation where you can understand the world just a little bit more than the plebes below you, those who clean toilets and pools and perhaps move rock and trash. They pick up trash on trash day. No, these people don't understand. You see, Hillary is far and above, better, smarter, and more vastly aware of where this country needs to go, you understand? Yeah, because Donald Trump, he appeals to the, well, the Fred Flintstone types, you know, the troglodytes, the knuckle-draggers, and we must understand that these people, they really have nowhere else to go because they're uneducated. Well, the truth is, they're not indoctrinated. They're unindoctrinated. They're living life in the real world, and these educated idiots, because that's what they are, they're easily used by the left. They get pulled into these wonderful universities that at one time were wonderful, and now they're nothing but indoctrination mills. And very expensive, too. How about that? Parents, kids, they pay all this money every semester to become indoctrinated, to have the truth sucked right out of them. Perhaps they were raised well by their parents. Sadly, some of the parents out there, you gotta go to college, you gotta go to college. What are you gonna do with your life? Oh my God, you gotta go to college. What are you gonna do? Well, I guess I'm gonna go to college. All right. Okay, so you gotta pick classes. We don't care what kind of classes you need, you just gotta go to college. Get a psych degree. Get a poli-sci degree. But you gotta go to college. You gotta have the college experience, don't you know? That's what it's all about. That's what life is. It's a college experience. You've gotta go in. You've gotta become a fraternity brother. You've gotta become part of a sorority. You've gotta go to the football games, and you've gotta go to college. You've gotta have the dorm room experience, don't you know? This is real life, don't you? Junior, you have to go here. You have to do this. Yeah, but I kind of wanted to, no, maybe later. But the first thing is college, because that's what's expected. That's how we're conditioned to believe. You must go to college. Oh, and then after you're done college and we've paid for it all and we've taken out loans, you've taken out loans, and then you can't get a job, but you got to go to college. The left is very, very good at this, aren't they? Indoctrinating. It has nothing to do with highly educated, for crying out loud. It's common sense, and it's being sucked right out of these kids, sucked right out of them. And I know some of them don't fall for it. I mean, I also am well aware that you do need to go to college for certain degrees, certain documents, to be able to perform the vocation that you've chosen. I understand that. But let's be honest. Many people go to college, just go to college, either because they think they need to go, or their parents think they need to go, or their friends. It's a peer pressure thing. And now we know. 66% of the educated think Hillary should be the president. Only 23% of the highly educated don't think so. Many of these voters question her trustworthiness. No. All she needs to do is be more open and warmer, okay? Don't worry about the scandals. Don't worry about the lies. Don't worry about the loss of life under her direction as the Secretary of State. Don't worry about the blood on her hands and the video that she tried to ascribe these deaths to. Don't worry about those emails. Don't worry about all that stuff. That's not the part. She's just more experienced. Now, the highly educated understand that. Donald Trump doesn't have any experience. Now, why would anybody trust him with the nuclear codes? He doesn't have any experience being a politician. Isn't that funny? See, these people out there who think that she's untrustworthy, that's why they like Trump. I mean, the dude's been working his butt off all these years. I don't care how rich he is. Doesn't make any difference to me. He's just a regular old Joe out there. He's just a regular old Joe out there. It's silly, isn't it? Hold on 1 second. This is Tron. Hello. Okay, hold on 1 second. Guys, I'm going to take a break here. We'll be right back. Got to deal with a sand and dirt issue. Tron of the Morning continues on TronShow.com. You know what that is? Well, it's a mason jar. You know what Colorado Springs has? A restaurant called the Mason Jar. That's right, the Mason Jar. It's a family restaurant right here in Colorado Springs. They're located at 2925 West Colorado Avenue at 30th Street. And you can call ahead for takeout or maybe you want to set up a party. Here's their phone number, 719-632-4820. And they're on the web at masonjarcolorado.com. You want to start out with an appetizer like I do, zucchini and mushrooms, or red onion rings, mozzarella cheese sticks, or they have a sampler platter as well. Salads and soups are fantastic there. I love the balsamic vinegar. And then it's time for the entree. Do you like fried chicken? That's my favorite at the Mason Jar. If you like sandwiches or burgers, you bet. They've got the All-American Burger, the Blue Cheeseburger, the Bacon Cheeseburger, and on it goes. They even have a Philly cheesesteak and a French dip. And they have fish for you fish lovers. Fresh Rocky Mountain rainbow trout, fish and chips, and southern fried catfish. And don't forget the wild Pacific salmon. I'll never forget the wild Pacific salmon. It's all at the Mason Jar in Colorado Springs. So if you're in the area, go in there. Stop by. If you're coming to Colorado Springs, get in there. Stop by and feast. They're at 2925 West Colorado. It's the Mason Jar. It's a family restaurant in Colorado Springs, and they do serve their drinks in Mason Jars. The Mason Jar in Colorado Springs.
Hi, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you're listening to Tron in the Morning.
All right, we're back. I'm getting some dirt delivered on our property so we can, you know, fix potholes and so forth. So, I didn't know it was today. So, yay, free dirt. Well, no, it's not free. You got to pay for the dirt. And by the way, the guy who's dropping off the dirt, I'll bet he's not voting for Hillary. I don't know this, but I'm just guessing. Yeah, the real world. Anyway, we are back. Now, back to this Biden thing real quick here. Sorry to interrupt. He said, all right, turn off the music. Some Senate Democrats, we talked about Biden, some Senate Democrats think Biden's right about Hillary needing to open up and let voters see your heart. See your heart. We know her heart. It's very dark. It's a black heart. It's a witch's heart. It's an evil heart. And again, some of the Democrats in the Senate think Biden's right, but caution that Clinton can't pretend to be someone she's not. Exactly right. Quote, it would be great if she showed more soul, but her soul more. But she's got to be comfortable, and it has to be authentic. It's not possible. This person also said Clinton is not, quote, a soaring orator or a slap-you-on-the-shoulder politician like Joe Biden's, but nevertheless could act more natural. like she often does in private settings with allies and donors and friends. Well, the public's never going to see that. And by the way, that's a show for them too. See, liberals aren't real. They're not real. I mean, they're real, but they would never show their true selves, were they? Would they? Even in private, they glad hand each other constantly. So it's not going to happen. Now, Donald Trump, he's shown, I think, just about every bit of himself he possibly can. And some people don't like it. Some people love it. Some people, but you know, he's legit. You know, he's a real deal. There's no question about it in my mind. I mean, I watched him for a year and a half like you have. Hillary, though, she's been keeping it close to the vest all this time. And perhaps there's a reason. It's because she doesn't want the public to see her real self. We already know she's an Alinskyite. We already know she's a Marxist. We already know she's a communist at heart. But, you know, she can't practice these things in another country because she'd never get anywhere. No, this is where she has to be so she can make all that money, because that's what's most important to Hillary Clinton. So this is silly. Clinton's tone during speeches and debates has been a charged topic throughout the campaign. Pundits who suggest that she should soften her demeanor and lower her voice have faced accusations that such criticism is inherently sexist. Of course. Clinton's, and these are Democrats who are being called this. Oh, folks, you know, they're on a dead-end path. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the Democrats, individuals, you know, they're on a dead-end path. They lose in the end. But in the meantime, Clinton's other big vulnerability is the economy. You see, polls consistently show that voters have more confidence in Trump, a billionaire real estate mogul, to jumpstart growth. Gosh, it does make sense, doesn't it? He's got some background. He's got some history doing well in business. And then you got the people, yeah, but he went bankrupt. Yeah. A lot of people do. And then they get back on their feet again and they do very well. Anyway, Dianne Feinstein, who's scared of guns that are big and long and black, says Clinton should talk more about the loss of manufacturing jobs and what the federal government can do to rebuild the manufacturing base. Well, they can't do anything, to be honest with you. And the government's never made anything. They never created anything. All they do is take. They don't make. So that would be just, that would be an exercise in futility. We already know this. I mean, those of us who actually live in the real world, you know, the uneducated, the plebes, those of us who find Hillary Clinton untrustworthy. Now, she said that Clinton should talk about keeping companies here and enabling tech to do manufacturing here instead of abroad. Well, she'd be a little late in that because Trump's already been talking about that. And I will say, it's going to be really tough for Trump to get jobs back from China, okay? I don't quite understand all that, but I'm no economist either. I think we're going to have to start over here from scratch, rebuild, okay? And then perhaps companies will come here and companies will stay here. But we've got to cut taxes. That's just number one. We've got to cut taxes across the board. And that's exactly what, by the way, Donald Trump's financial plan entails, which is great. And that's not just businesses, folks. That's personal taxes. He wants to cut across the board. Now, it's not perfect, but it's a heck of a start. Back to the story at the Hill about Hillary. Feinstein said one policy solution would be to give companies with billions of dollars stashed overseas a tax break on repatriating their profits in exchange for pledges and to invest in domestic factories. Well, again, she'd be late to the game with that too, right? Late to the party. Kind of like old Obama down there showing up to Louisiana about a week late after Trump had already been down there, helping out, being seen, talking with folks. A little late. Senator Jeff Merkley. He is a Democrat. He's from Oregon. He's the only senator, apparently, who endorsed Senator Bernie Sanders. Bernie, whatever happened to Bernie? Well, now he's an independent. He was a Democrat, but now he's just a little Marxist freak show. Anyway, he endorsed Bernie Sanders, and he said that Clinton needs to put more emphasis on creating high-paying blue-collar jobs. Ah, gee, late to the party. Quote, the biggest concern is living wage jobs, he said. This is the Democrat freak show that was for Bernie. She's laid out a strong infrastructure program that will put a lot of people to work. But I think the issue of living wage jobs needs to be talked about a little more. Merkley says that the income erosion suffered by middle class families is a big reason for the discontent that has roiled this election cycle. Quote, it's at the heart of the fact that the blue-collar families are not doing as well as they were doing 20 or 30 years ago, he added. Well, gee, you know why that is? It's called regulation, right? Our economy's been stymied, stopped. And it's because of the Democrats. And yes, go along, get along Republicans like Mitch McConnell. Ben Cardin, he's a Democrat from Maryland. He gives Clinton high marks for her performance this year and praised her campaign and her ads as highly effective. Quote, she's running her campaign the way it needs to be run, he said. well, hopefully into the ground. Now, he did acknowledge that the voters have reservations about Clinton, but argued that they have much deeper concerns about a Trump presidency. Oh, the shadowy man Trump. What will he do? Who will he put in and appoint as Supreme Court Justice? Well, I guarantee you it'll be a lot better than what she's got. And this Cardin guy also suggested that she focus on the economy and working on erasing Trump's lead on the issue. Well, that sounds kind of like what a Democrat should be doing, right? Quote, I think the economy is still one of the most important issues. Hillary has to concentrate on the economy. At the end of the day, I hate that phrase, people do vote the economy. So that's a critical and important part of the campaign. Well, we all know why the economy's in the dirt, in the trench, in the ditch. It's because of Democrats. We've had a Democrat as president for almost 8 years. And yes, we've had a do-nothing Congress, too. Thank you so much, Republicans in D.C. who live in your little bubble that hopefully will be popped by people like Donald Trump. But in the meantime, the truth is the economy is on the skids because of the Democrats. That's just the truth. And the do-nothing Republicans, yes. But who's been in leadership? Who's been in the White House? Who's been getting everything he wants all this time? Well, that'd be Barack Obama now, wouldn't it? So it's futile if people would wake up. Now, I know the indoctrinated, they're not going to go for reality, and the reality check is certainly not going to hit their box. I get that. But I still think there are many people out there, even Democrats, that are thinking, you know what? This sucks. I hate this. I can't believe how much money I'm giving. What is this Obamacare? I'm supposed to save $2,500 a year. I'm supposed to be able to keep my plan and keep my doctor, because and then we were going to help 30 million other people, which, by the way, is mathematically impossible. But these people believe this crap. And now they're feeling it. We talked about this 5-6 years ago. And these people would not believe. And then we also know that the plan, the Obamacare plan, was a complete lie. That little jerk who wrote up that plan, he admitted it. It's all about control of the populace, of the citizenry, by the government. That's all it's ever been. It's all it's ever will be. And yes, it needs to be uprooted. And I'm sorry to say that we have Republicans that don't do a damn thing about it. They just don't. They don't care. It's all about working together and across the aisles and regular order. And look at this. Look at this. We're just glad-handing and back-slapping all day long. Isn't that what America wants? Well, no. So, Donald Trump shows up. Beats everybody on that stage. 16 of them. Beats them all. Beats them all. And soundly, by the way. Soundly. Why is that? Well, Americans are sick and tired of it. Pissed off. They're done. Stick a fork in them. No more of this stuff. They see right through Hillary. They saw right through a lot of Republicans that wanted to be president. And some of them were good. But you know what? Sometimes you got to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Yes, there are some good folks on the Republican side. But sadly, the majority of them are opportunists. They are. The majority is opportunism. That's what they're involved in. So the whole change has to go in. You know, you just got to flush it out. That's all there is to it. And so Donald Trump comes in, says he's going to do this. Immigration's a big issue. He's made that clear. He is a businessman. I understand that too. And maybe he doesn't know the Constitution as well as he should. And I believe he should. I believe he ought to be taking some classes from Hillsdale, whatever. I believe he ought to immerse himself in this. Maybe not now. Maybe beat this woman first, but get some tutoring going on. I've said this for a long, long time. He needs a tutor. Maybe he's got one. I believe Kellyanne Conway may be in on that. I don't know. We don't know. We don't know what goes on in these meetings. But nevertheless, he's a much better choice than Hillary, because we know exactly what she wants to do. We know exactly what she wants to do. There's no mystery to her whatsoever. Yes, there is somewhat of a mystery to Donald Trump, to an extent, but it's not a negative mystery, I don't believe at all. It's not. And he's going to disappoint a lot of his stalwart followers if he becomes president, that's for sure. He's not going to disappoint me. I know who this guy is. I know where he comes from. I know what he wants to do. I understand his way of thinking. I just do. It's after a year and a half listening to the guy, you know where the guy comes from. And that's fine. He's a regular guy. That's what he is. He's not perfect. He's got warts like everybody else. He's got moles with hairs growing out of him. Come on! We all know this. But he is not an Alinskyite. He is not a Marxist. He is not a hater of the founding of this country. He's far from that. He loves the military, he loves the flag, he loves this country. He loves working in the country, he loves creating jobs, and by the way, tens of thousands of jobs this guy created. But of course, he's evil, you know. He can't be president. Oh my God, Donald Trump, why, he's just evil, isn't he? Well, the indoctrinated would say so, the highly educated think so, but they're wrong. And then it's the proof is there, but they reserve the right to refuse the proof that is set before them, and that's all there is to it. They absolutely will go along with their indoctrination, with their brainwashing, with their conditioning, whatever you want to call it. Utopia is just so close. We're just so close. Everything will be free. Money will fall from the sky. It'll be great. There is no God. We are our own gods. It'll be great. We'll just be fine. Let's just be like everybody else across the world, and let's be a non-exceptional country. We were never exceptional in the first place, and we will defeat racism and the oppression, and we love our football players standing up for this oppression that doesn't exist. They're all full of, and I'm not going to say it, but you know what they are full of. Tron in the Morning on TronShow.com. That's just where we are, but Hillary needs to change. I just love it. Hillary, she's okay, start talking about the economy, Hillary. She doesn't know anything about the economy. I mean, when she was talking the other night, it was just gobbledygook. It made no sense. She made no sense. And by the way, Trump wasn't great the other night either. He did better. You know, he didn't have a little hearing aid in his ear listening to questions. Yeah, but that hasn't been proven. I know it hasn't been proven. It doesn't really matter. She's coached by the most leftist among us. We understand that. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And you know what? By the way, let me just say this. This stuff about people are like, oh my God, Trump loves Putin. No, he doesn't. He respects his strength in his country. It's not hard to figure out. I think Putin's he's a creep show. He's a KGB agent. What, you can't understand when Trump says Putin is a strong leader? What, you can't understand, not you, but people can't understand what he means by that? For crying out loud, it's so simple to understand. When Trump says he's a strong leader, that's what he means. He's a strong leader. Doesn't mean he likes his leadership. It means he's a strong leader. It means he's doing what he wants to do, and he's doing it, and the people are accepting it, and he has leadership, and he is leading. And we don't like Russia. You know, it's the same thing with other countries out there. You may not, and we don't. We don't like communist countries. We don't like Marxist countries. We hate dictatorships. But there are strong leaders that run these countries. Are there not? Fidel Castro has been a strong leader. He's been an evil dictator, but a strong one. Let's see. Satan, the devil, Lucifer, Beelzebub, whatever you call him, he is a strong opposing force, isn't he? Yeah, yes, he is. He's strong. He's strong in temptation. He's strong in creating trouble and problems. But you know what? He does it with strength. He's able to, but that doesn't make him good. That doesn't make him somebody to aspire to. It's the same thing. It's so obvious. I mean, it's too bad we even have to bring this up. But this is on the news, on TV, and on radio. Oh, Donald Trump thinks Putin, he's so glad that he respects the strength, that's all. And if you do respect your opponent, you're going to do much better with them, aren't you? Oh my gosh, it's so elementary, it's crazy, isn't it? All right. So the anxious Democrats are freaking out. And good, I'm glad to hear it. Breitbart.com, story this morning, one of them. The left is completely outraged that the UK is building a southern border wall. Oh, no, they're putting up borders. Oh, no. Yes. So the story is Trumpism lands in Britain. Well, you know, they did their Brexit, right? Good for them. Those people woke up. I mean, not completely. They're still a socialist group of people. They're still a socialist country. I understand that. But you got to start somewhere. It's just like with Trump. You got to start somewhere. Nothing's going to be perfect. There's no light switch. You know, nobody's going to follow the complete documentation and definition of conservatism, and you have to perfectly understand the Constitution, and you have to be a perfect Christian, and you have to be everything. That's not going to happen in the real world. This world's got a lot of mud holes in it, so you got to start where you are. So here's Liam Deacon writing at Breitbart over in England. Breitbart. British Breitbart. A day after the UK announced a great wall of, is it Calais? On its southern border to keep migrants out, the left-wing establishment has rallied to condemn the plan, with many comparing it to the policies of U.S. presidential candidate Donald Trump. The wall was announced by the UK's immigration minister, Robert Goodwill, on Wednesday, after attempts to illegally enter the UK via Calais. Is that how you say it? I really don't know. Forgive me. After the illegally... the numbers have quadrupled, this illegal entrance. So construction is expected to begin this month. They're building the wall, folks, over there. How about that? Quote, when Donald Trump said he would build a wall between the United States and Mexico, most of us recoiled. How had politics in the land of the free descended so low, so fast? Asked Caroline Lucas, a member of parliament and a co-leader of Britain's Green Party. and that's her attitude, as you might suspect. In January this year, the British Parliament debating banning Mr. Trump from the UK. Yeah, that was rich. After 570,000 people signed a petition claiming he was xenophobic and racist. Well, Trumpism has now landed in Britain. The government has just announced plans for a 13-foot-tall wall. That's right. It's going to be made out of concrete. It's designed to keep migrants away. Ah, that's sovereignty at work, folks. People are getting a clue. Quote, the immigration minister, Robert Goodwill, appeared to have been turning into Trump's speeches for inspiration when he said yesterday, quote, we are going to start building this big new wall very soon. We've done the fence. Now we're doing a wall. Her colleagues in the European Parliament agreed. Here's a tweet from Molly Scott Cato. I don't know who she is. Trump-esque wall against refugees is another wrong move, say Green Party people. Labour Party politicians have also compared the wall, the British wall here, the Calais wall, I guess, to Mr. Trump's plan. Jack Dromey, over there in England, said, quote, this proposal to build a Donald Trump-style wall is a bizarre waste of money. Well, you know, if you're a leftist and you believe in utopia and you don't mind if a bunch of Islamic terrorists are going to kill you, I guess it might be. But then again, the real world, right? Nobody wants to die at the hand of a freak show Islamic terrorist, do they? Well, apparently a lot of people in England don't. Quote, outrage as Britain plans Trump-esque wall in France to stop refugees from entering the UK, tweeted Al Jazeera News. UK government urged Donald Trump comparisons for Calais wall pledge, declared Newsweek. Quote, I emphasize with this frustration of local residents and travelers on both sides of the channel, but we cannot allow this humanitarian crisis to be exploited by resurgent French or British far-right groups, said this Keith Taylor person, I don't know, for the southeast of England. Just a lefty. Mrs. Lucas, Caroline Lucas, argued that opening up borders, not building walls, was the solution. Yes! Everybody come on in. It's fine. You'll be fine. It's going to be great. Utopia. It's just around the corner. Quote, here's Lucas. If ministers were serious about addressing the situation in Calais, I guess, I don't know, rather than focusing on putting up barriers, they would act to give people safe legal access to the UK. Okay, smarty pants, indoctrinated. I'm sorry, highly educated. Really pathetic. Toronto the Morning on TorontoShow.com. I think I have a guest coming up. I do. It's going to be fun. We'll take a little break from the politics. Oh, my God. You know, that's another thing. I know a lot of people hate politics, quote unquote. You know, I hate to do it. But see, that's the thing. If you resign yourself from being involved some way or another, at least it's paying attention, and then you're going to get run roughshod, right? And people are just going to, they're going to get their way over you. We have to pay attention now. It's the three percenters, whatever you want to call it. It's time to get with the program here. Anyway, we'll be right back with our next guest. I'll fill you in as to who she is. Also, Tom Harris from Canada is going to join us again. He's a climatologist, very smart guy and fun. He's got a lot of energy, that I can tell you. Toronto the Morning on TorontoShow.com. Coming right back.
Michael Strahan, and you are listening to Tron in the Morning.
Hey, we're back. Tron in the Morning with you on this Friday. You finally made it. And, yeah, well, it was a short week. I mean, come on. Everybody knows that this was a holiday week, and maybe some people are still on holiday. On holiday, you know. But, nevertheless, it's Friday, and we is live in Colorado Springs, 8 o'clock in the morning. Our first guest of the morning joins us right now. Give us your full name, madam.
It's Mary Claire Kendall.
And tell everybody what Mary Claire Kendall does for a living.
Right. I write, and I'm getting into producing as well.
Sweet.
But, basically, I'm a writer.
Yes. Okay, so you've got a new workout. Tell everybody the title.
Right. It's called Oasis, Conversion Stories of Hollywood Legends.
Yes. Okay. And when we talk conversion, what are we talking about converting from and to?
We're talking about converting from the, we talked about the Washington Swamp, the Hollywood Swamp.
Yes.
To, and all of these in this first book, they're all conversions, some of them long journeys, but ultimately to the Catholic faith.
To the Catholic faith. Okay. So how come this book was something you wanted to write? Is this something that happened to you?
No, I was, it happens in everybody's life. I mean, we have conversions, you know.
Well, of course.
All the time, we're, you know, changing our hearts or improving and our souls. But I was doing screenwriting.
Yeah.
And, so I was very focused on the classic Hollywood era and the classic stars.
Yeah.
And so, I saw the Betty Hutton was being interviewed by Robert Osborne on private screenings, and sure, her story just blew me away.
By the way,
so
Betty Hutton, a very...
About these stars, because I was doing, you know, biography at that point.
Sure.
And just really dug in, and my friend Father C. John McCloskey would say, another conversion story for you. But no, so it was more my admiration for these stars, and then seeing what's behind, you know, their appearances on the screen.
Well, and Betty Hutton, I want to say that everybody, if you don't know who she is, and she's no longer with us, but she was a very funny lady and a singer, too, a good voice.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Actress.
And she started as a young kid. I mean, her mother was an alcoholic. Her father left, and singing on the street corners. Amazing. You know, I was going to say, and with you being in Colorado Springs, you know, the arc of her life, like all the other lives, you know, she had the crisis point. She had great addiction. She put to prescription pills, and she said when she was getting on Dexedrine, you know, as her career was kind of flaming out,
right.
She said, well, if it's good enough for the Air Force pilots, it's good enough for me. But, of course, she had that acting persona, so
sure.
Not so much.
That's exactly right. And, by the way, this book, Oasis, Conversion Stories of Hollywood Legends. Now, I'm not Catholic, but I found this interesting as an evangelical. My question is, do you find any of these stories that are actually not just Catholic, but evangelical? I'm some people out there.
Yes, yes. And in fact, the next book will have other stories that broaden. But yes, no, absolutely. Because Ann Miller she was a Baptist all her
right.
life. And she was a really good girl. But then she did meet this, she had not great choice in husbands, like so many of them do. And she met this fellow who was Catholic and started, you know, studying to become a Catholic. But unfortunately, he was married, bad marriage, and couldn't get the annulment. So, but it stuck with her. And so gradually, at the very, very end, I don't want to give it away, but
yeah,
it was pretty poignant how she was baptized. And it's just an amazing story. If you buy the book for anything, buy it for Ann Miller's story. Does everybody know Ann Miller? You know, she was the tap dancer.
Yes, amazing
Easter Parade,
dancer.
But then did the big Broadway show, Sugar Babies.
Exactly right.
With
now
you've got
all kinds of names in here, Claire. I mean, we got Gary Cooper, we got Susan Hayward, we got Lana Turner. We've got now my question is, how did you research all this?
Oh, okay. So, I mean, you just dig in. It's like peeling a, you know, layers off an onion. So you have their own writings. You have friends. I was really lucky because I was introduced to, or I met A.C. Lyles, who was an institution at Paramount, Ronald Reagan's best friend, James Cagney's best friend. I reached out to him when I was doing the Betty Hutton story that was the first for Newport Life magazine. And he became a fast friend and introduced me to Gary Cooper's daughter. So the friends, and he knew all the stars, and interviews, spiritual, and I would do digging myself, spiritual advisors, just, you know, whoever I could find. And so it's sort of like a, you know, it's a hunt. You go on a hunt just to put this picture together of these lives.
Well,
my friend, who was Bob Hope's publicist, Harry Flynn, said it shows the souls behind the billboard.
So I want to know, when you did this, when you started in on this, did the stories come naturally from people that knew these people, and were they excited to tell them, or did you have to kind of peck at them a little bit?
Let's see. Well, it's across the board.
Right.
So, you know, it's hard to get access to family. So certain relatives were maybe more, you know, you had to kind of, you know, build a rapport.
Yeah, sure.
I don't, you know, actually, and the good friend of Betty Hutton, who doesn't want to be, who's anonymous, but she, I mean, she should write a book.
Right.
And so she knew so much from her Newport years. I have to think about that. Yeah, it's across the board.
I want to know this, Claire. In Hollywood, what it's like today as opposed to back in the day, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. What's changed? Is this happening now?
Well, read my article. I did an article on, well, it's actually not conversion, but it sort of says the tone of what Hollywood is like today. It used to be a more community feel. I did a piece, I interviewed John Wayne's friend, A.J. Fennedy, and he talked about just before the Oscars and a couple of years ago when I went out there, and it was in Breitbart. But, I mean, I think the people are different, but you know, there is a real resurgence, because I think, well, first of all, Hollywood, you know, it's going through its difficulties. I mean, I think the formula, they're struggling a little bit, and, you know, it's all special effects, action.
Oh, yeah.
In this time, they didn't have all that, the
computer-generated
images, so they had to talk about people.
Sure.
And so I think they were more, so I think, you know, having to come to terms with your humanity, who you are, and that's, you know, the Christ is the foundation of understanding
right.
who we are, because he was
the savior of the world.
And,
exactly.
Came to save us, and so, yeah, I think the contrast is more,
I think pop culture's taken over.
There's a lot of contrast.
I think pop culture's taken over. I think the mindset of many in Hollywood, you know, they have to be a certain way now. Leftism has pushed them away from. And you said it, man. I'll tell you what, Claire. There's way too much bells and whistles out there. People don't think and talk anymore.
Right, exactly. That's the whole point. That's the real contrast between the two eras. They were human beings. I mean, Maltese Falcon, you know. I mean, these, I don't know if I'm saying films that people haven't heard of. It hasn't seen it, Humphrey Bogart.
No, we got very savvy listeners.
Yeah, I mean, look at those films. It was like a study of human nature.
Right.
And if you're away from your spiritual side, you don't have a clue. So, yeah, we're all lost in the bells and whistles, right?
No, that's very true. That's what's going on right now. Well, who's your favorite star?
Oh, whenever I'm writing about a star, it becomes my favorite.
Aha!
To know me is to love me. So, but let's see. Well, Mary Astor, I love her story. Betty Hutton, I love her story. Lana Turner, Patricia Neal, Gary Cooper. I mean,
I
so
love Gary Cooper.
Amazing.
Gosh, that was a great song. Great actor.
His conversion. Is amazing how he basically, you know, he was a female magnet.
Right.
And so it split up the family. And so then he realized, you know, he didn't want to be quite such a bum, and sort of on the same trajectory as Sergeant York, his favorite film.
Oh, it's great.
A Little Religion Wouldn't Do No Hurt, and gradually, you know, the priest that Rocky, his wife, invited over, she thought they'd talk about spiritual things.
Right.
You know, it was hunting and fishing and scuba diving, but gradually the conversation drifted. And he did become a Catholic before he got sick. A lot of people say it was a deathbed conversion.
Yeah.
Not so.
Okay.
That his daughter, not so.
Mary Claire Kendall, our guest, she's got her book out now. It's all over the place. You can order it. Oasis, Conversion Stories of Hollywood Legends. And you are working on another one.
Yes, I've done the proposal for the sequel. So I have, and then I'm working on this, finalizing this book about a military hero, sort of a patriot who then rose up in the business world and gives back to the military. That one, the foreword to which was written by General Vesey. So I'm just finishing that one. Hopefully, will be published sooner rather than later. A few other books. So
oh,
I'm
great.
Busy.
Well, and people can go and see your work and chime in with you at the website, right?
Yeah, well, actually, no, I don't do the chatting. You know, if I did that, I wouldn't get anything.
Well, I don't mean chatting, but they can read about you, right? Like on Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah, they can read. Oh, yeah, they can read about me. They can Google my name. It's actually Mary Claire Kendall, and my mom is Claire. She was the one who first suggested this first book. Who, very sadly, she got sick right at the height of the deadline, and died within a month.
Oh,
it was so tragic. But she said she'd be helping me from heaven, and she is, by jingo.
Well, that's great. Well, I appreciate you putting it out there. I love stories about Hollywood and the actors of long ago that are, I mean, they're the best. They're the founding fathers of entertainment. That's who they are.
Oh, they are, and they are the best. And film is art, so they're the masters.
That's exactly right. Well, keep on in that new book, and let me know when it's out, will you?
I will, Tron. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. God bless. Have fun out there.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, boy, she's up and at him, isn't she? Anyway, it's out there about the Hollywood conversions to, I guess, Catholicism, okay? I'm not a Catholic, but I find these stories interesting about our friends in the entertainment business. And yes, they were the founding fathers and mothers of entertainment. You know, Gary Cooper, and you talk about, hey, even Bela Lugosi, come on now. I mean, it was just crazy. And by the way, the founding fathers of rock would be the Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin, Tom Petty. We were talking about this yesterday at our music meeting. And it's like, you know, there's something we could do with that. The founding fathers of rock. Dun, 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 dun. I don't know. See, my mind just goes crazy. Going to Arizona, where Kurt stands by on Tron in the Morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning!
Well, you're right. I'm not Catholic either, but I'll play one on your radio.
Well, I wouldn't know how to. I don't know. You know, I know this. The funerals and the weddings are very long.
Yeah,
they're very long. That's all.
They'll find anything to celebrate. So.
Well, it's a different way of doing things. It's a different way of doing things, and that's all. It's just whatever.
Yeah. Hey, just going through the paper yesterday. Yeah. Some interesting things. I'm trying to stay away from Hillary because I can't watch it anymore.
Oh, she's tough.
You know, our media has turned on us.
Yes,
sir. I think Fox News is going down the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know who those people are anymore. I don't even want to listen to them.
No, honestly, the only show during the week that I can really watch is Hannity, because he has guests that I have on, and I like Sebastian Gorka, and I like seeing some of the folks that I talk to on the radio, and these are the guys and gals that are actually really serious about liberty, about protection, about sovereignty, and then all the other shows are just magazine shows. Megyn Kelly's terrible. Terrible!
Well, all these defenders of Hillary, it's just, you know, it's just one thing I think, you know, everybody has heard this. I don't know if they want to realize it or not.
I know.
But Trump has been very specific
on
some things.
I know,
he's not going to go into extreme detail. I understand that.
I understand.
But Hillary has been so vague.
Right.
We've got to get these people united together. We're going to do this. And we'll unite these people. Just like, if that is a bunch of BS.
Yes, it is.
Because if they could have done that, why didn't they do that in the last 8 years?
Well, exactly, Kurt. What have we been? People been all doing that? What is it? The guy who slept for 20 years? I don't remember his stupid name. It wasn't Rumpelstiltskin. Anyway, people.
Hello.
8 years of Democrat rule. What do you get for it? We're in the toilet. That's what we get for it. There is no reason under God's heaven on this green earth and this brown earth and this watery earth and this landmass earth that anybody in their right mind, for crying out loud, would vote for a Democrat for anything ever again. There's just no good reason. None.
Well, and then Obama goes out and tries to tell everybody in the world that Trump's unfit.
That he is. Jackass.
And his bleeping temperament is just infuriating me. Because when Obama made that deal, paid the ransom, dumped our money into Iran.
Sure.
Did anybody ask him about his temperament?
No.
But he doesn't. I sure as hell have one right now.
Well, I tell you what, man, that's exactly right. And that's why the fever pitch is high. People are tired of being taken advantage of, lied to, and this jackass of a president goes across the pond and starts pointing a finger at us from afar. That ain't cool. He's a very small little man. This guy deserves everything he gets at one day when he's accountable for this stuff. Because he has blood on his hands. He has destruction on his hands. He has ruined people's lives. He has sent people on treks that they didn't have to take. He has gotten into the mix of separating children from their families. It's just awful. He's awful. And he is a perpetrator of evil. That's all there is to it.
Oh, yeah, well...
Oh, yeah.
That list. I saw this yesterday. I thought it was interesting.
Yes.
NOAA is saying that climate change is partly responsible for all the floods in Louisiana.
Absolutely.
Now, as I remember, the mean temperature of the earth hasn't risen in 18 years. So how can they say this? And I ran this by my informer, my weather guy.
Right.
And you have, believe it or not, we have a bunch of scientists who are bought by the government.
Oh, I know that.
They already came to a conclusion.
Yes, indeed.
And they are looking for anything and everything they can find to try to support it.
Talked about the story yesterday.
This is our science.
I talked about the story yesterday. Right here in Colorado Springs, UCCS, they've got a couple of professors that are running an online scheme, an online class, that if you say that global warming, man-made climate change, is not real, then you might as well not take the class, because if you don't follow their narrative, you're not going to pass.
Oh, good. So nobody shows up to their class, right?
Oh, they'll be the indoctrinated fools that, you got to go to college. You got to go to college. You got to go to college. You got to take this class. Climate change is real. Sadly, there are parents out there that are, well, helping to indoctrinate their children because they themselves are indoctrinated, right?
Yeah, and it's pathetic. And like you say, the populism is taking over. But
yeah, it is.
Another one. I noticed that I caught this yesterday. Out in the back of the newspaper, not in the rear of the front, that the House is trying to impeach Costin, who's the chief of the IRS.
That's right.
But it also says, but there's no hope with the Senate.
No, of course not.
Why not? Isn't the Republicans leading the Senate right now?
Sure they are, but they're not really Republicans, of course, Kurt, as you and I both know. They are really Democrats in sheep's clothing. They pretend like they're conservatives. They're certainly not conservatives. They're just go-along, get-alongs. They're scared of the media writing nasty things about them, saying nasty things, and they won't get TV spots anymore. So it's all about them. It's not about us. Screw us. They're in a bubble, and we're going to pop that son of a gun.
I hope so.
Oh, we're going to pop it.
We have to. Otherwise, we're done for.
No,
Another one I thought was interesting was the Mexican Treasury Minister quit.
Yes, he did.
After Trump's visit.
Yeah.
Now, I was wondering why. He didn't give any reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of wondering why would that happen unless this guy had something going on.
Right.
And when Trump gets involved in their finances and how they're going to run things, it's going to expose it.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. No, there's so much interwoven. The web of deceit, the web of deals, the crony capitalism, the favors, the glad handing, the backslapping. We don't even know how deep it is. And frankly, we don't really care about the specifics of all that. Well, that'll eke out. But the main thing is to change leadership. Take it away from those out there who wish us harm. And that includes many Republicans, sadly.
Yeah.
Right?
Another one, too. Just adding to what you said earlier about Trump complimenting Putin.
Yeah.
Anybody who's a fighter.
Yes. Appreciate.
I mean, that includes
respects.
Bowling teams, for crying out loud.
Yep.
You go up against your opponent, you don't have to like him.
No.
The guy could be a total stinker, Putin.
Yes.
But if he can get 10 strikes in a row, he's pretty damn good.
That's right.
You better respect that because you may have to compete with him.
That's exactly what it is.
Same thing with judo.
Yep, that's exactly what it is. It is. It is a competition, and it is a respect. It's a mutual respect between two opponents. That's what's gone on ever since the dawn of time. And when somebody like Trump says what he says, it's easy to figure that out. Oh, but the left out there, and the never-Trumpers, you can't say that. Oh, he likes Putin. No, he doesn't, you dumbass. God.
You kind of wonder, but you have to listen to this crap they spew on TV.
I wonder
if they do the same thing in their own home.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they're so unmoored from reality. And again, they do live in their little bubbles, and they go on TV, and they have their little suits on, and they have their little segment in their spot, and they have this daily or weekly appearance, and that's all that matters to them, and they're trying to build their brand, you know, and then they got a book in the works and all this stuff. It's all about them. And they are, of course, trying to get to feather their nest. And I get that, but how about some people out out there that are real, like Sebastian Gorka, like Ralph Peters, like people out there that actually do care about, like Betsy McCoy talking about Obamacare all these years. These people, and they're not liked by the left. They don't care. They know the truth, and the truth is in them, and they wish to get it out to others.
Well, I'd like to see, if everybody likes doing all this analysis stuff, I'd like to see between the Republicans and the Democrats, who has the highest divorces and runaway children.
You got it. And I'll bet that would be an interesting statistic indeed. I wonder if it's been tabulated.
Yeah, well, they probably don't want to go there.
No.
Another thing, too, I saw, and you probably saw the commercials with all these cars that are self-driving and stuff like that.
Forget that.
And you'll notice somebody's either on the phone, eating a burger, taking their nose, doing something, yes. And the auto brake comes on. Now, that's what this car is doing.
Oh, boy.
Is reinforcing bad behavior.
Uh-huh. You're right.
If you have a device that covers your butt, then you're not going to pay attention because you have that device.
Right.
You're going to get yourself killed.
Yeah. No, exactly. People, right, these cars, you make such a good point. Never thought of it. Listen to this. You're right. These cars are doing things that the people should be doing, but since they're not, because they're so interested in their little iPhones and their texts and their food and their... I guess we got to make cars that do everything for the human. And, of course, there are going to be accidents like crazy. I don't think that'll ever really get off. And, you know, we, the uneducated, we plebs, will never be able to probably, afford such vehicles. But most importantly, we wouldn't want one. I prefer to be in control of my own craft.
Well, true, but if you think of this, the other side of this, this is how the car manufacturers takes a cheap car and makes it very expensive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All these neat attractions, but
yeah.
Another one too. I thought
bells and whistles.
Kind of humorous.
Yeah.
This one was, I thought was humorous. Was the media's complaining about the media being soft on Trump and hard on Hillary?
Right.
I don't see that, because the thing is, how can you say Hillary? Can you once in your bleeping life tell the truth just once? Hard on her.
I know, right? We expect just the least, the very least. Just tell the truth. Well, that's sexist. You can't. That's racist. You can't. It's sexist. It's racist. And and you're oppressing her.
Yeah, and probably a bigot in the closet too.
Absolutely. You're everything. You're an unwashed, illiterate, uneducated plebe. And that's just the way it is. You just leave her alone. She'll tell you what for, and she'll do it in any dialect she wants to.
And you'll have to go that far.
I know. I've traveled. I am not so tired. I mean, these people are just gross. They're gross. Democrats are gross. Liberals.
But anyway, just the election in general.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to equate this because it is. I keep using gambling machines because we are.
Yes.
We're gambling here.
It's interesting you use that analogy a lot.
here's your A and B.
Yeah.
We have a chance to A.
Yeah.
Maybe. Do a good thing for us.
Maybe, right.
B, knowing it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Now, where are you going to put your quarter?
Well, you're going to take the chance. You're going to gamble with the possibility of a positive outcome, Mr. Kurt.
Well, I hope everybody else is starting to get that attitude, because I don't see how they can look at... Hillary and say, oh, yes, our country is secure. How can you say that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when they're accusing Trump of all these things, did anybody ever ask Obama about that same stuff?
No.
Oh, you can't say that because you're a racist.
No, that's bigoted.
First black president, and then we're going to have the same crap with the first woman president.
Yeah, it's just, it's so stupid. I don't care what your gender is. There are only two. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how short, fat, tall your eye color is, bald hair. I don't care. If you have no character, then I have no business dealings with you.
Yeah, boy, amen on that one. And that's a good word right there.
Character
is something, because this is something I wish Trump would start using in some of his speeches.
Yeah,
and stuff.
More so. He has, but he needs to do
it
more so.
A new attitude.
Yeah.
You got to bring a different attitude to the White House.
That's exactly
that's
right.
That's what Trump's all about.
Character counts.
Change it. We're going to go and we're going to get a good team. We're going to change the attitude. And we're going to try to get this fixed.
You know, the military is certainly on the same page as you and I and many of our listeners. They know what is coming if Hillary becomes president, and they have no desire to see that happen. So there's that out there for you never-Trumpers out there. If you're having a problem voting for Donald Trump because whatever. Our military, who protects us day in, day out, night and day from crap holes, you better treat them right. It's time to treat them right for once.
Yeah, did you hear what the left was saying about those generals that were supporting Trump?
No.
Well, they didn't serve in Iraq. Well, they've never been to Afghanistan. Who cares what they are?
Who cares where they were? They chose, voluntarily chose to protect, fight in whatever capacity that they were engaged in. It doesn't matter if they were cooking, or they were fighting, or they were building, or they were fixing, or they were traveling, or they were flying planes, driving landcraft, whatever. They are in the military, and they gave themselves to it, and that was to protect you and I. And these lefties, I tell you what, this world will be better off without them if that would ever happen. Although, it probably won't happen until the keys of government are handed from, well, they're taken from man and given back to Christ. That's the only time it's going to happen. In the meantime, you and I fight like hell to get these things straightened out.
Well, we need some better interviewers, because the thing is, when they start bringing this stuff up, saying,
you're right.
Guess what, pal? Ulysses S. Grant didn't go to Iraq either. But you know what? He fought a civil war.
Dang right he did. That's exactly right. And by the way, get Ralph Peters' new book, ladies and gentlemen, The Damned at Petersburg, available now at Amazon.com. There you go.
Have a safe weekend.
I will. Great call, sir.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right, man. Sunday, we'll be back together after today, by the way, on 740 KVOR. Obama. He's in Laos. Is that plural for lice? I'm kidding! Here's what he said from afar yesterday in Laos, talking about Trump. I think I have it. Yeah. I think I have it. Tell you what, I'll rack this up. I want you to hear this, and I want to make sure I play it, so stay right there. I'll get it. Hold on. But Obama was in Laos. This was yesterday at some point. I don't know what time it was in Laos, but it was early. It was early. It was early in the morning here somewhere. And I'm trying to pull this up. It's as if they've taken it down, so I can't play it. But that's a conspiracy theory, so I'm not going to go there. I'll get it up while we're trying to pull this thing in. We'll talk to Carmen. Good morning, sir. How are you?
How are you today?
Well, you know, playing those computer games again, trying to figure out what the heck's going on here. But other than that, going well, man.
Oh, outstanding.
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
TGIF, right?
Yeah, TGIF, whatever that means anymore. Hard to say, you know. People have different lives now.
Well, TGIF could be, thank God I'm forgiven.
Oh, I like that. I've never heard that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it just came into my head as we were talking.
Well, write that down, boys and girls. That's good stuff. I'll tell you what. Well, I'm sure you're watching all the silliness that's going on, so what's up?
Oh, I'll tell you. So much things are being thrown against the wall.
Yes.
You know, it's hard to separate the chaff from the actual seed.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, what's really interesting, I had some interesting conversation last evening with a very, very close friend of mine who is a nephrologist.
Uh-huh.
And we were talking about Hillary, subchordal dementia, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And, you know, he had shared with me, he says, you know, Carmen, he says, well, we know about her, that she had a concussion and that she probably had a blood clot also in her brain.
Yeah.
And that was what was going on. And I said to him, I said, well, I said, what's what I am seeing on the radio or listening to on the radio and seeing is that, you know, she has not had a conference in 280 some odd days.
Sure.
And said, well, she had, I guess she had one last night sometime.
Oh, she had a, she was standing outside the plane, she took four questions, absolutely, you know, nothing to it, so.
No, absolutely not. But, you know, we've got a lot to be concerned about, and the most thing we really need to be concerned about is getting Donald Trump into office.
Absolutely right.
I mean, that is the bottom line. There's, you know, no diversions, nothing like that. We've got to make sure that Mr. Trump becomes the next president of the United States. We got to stop this nonsense, this obscene spending that's going on, what they're wanting to do.
Almost uncontrollable, with, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's all out of control. You know, and as D.B. Kidd said, everything is corrupt, you know, in the government. There's not one honest person in there. I mean, there might be maybe a minute portion
right.
of people who are honest that are in Congress or who are in that we really don't know what's, you know, who's really honest, who's not honest.
Sure.
Because everybody in their own mind, they believe, and Hillary Clinton in her own mind believes that she's actually telling the truth because
yeah.
she has been so indoctrinated into the way of Saul Alinsky, you know, et cetera, et cetera. People, stay alert. You know, what are we, 9 weeks away from election
yes.
day right now? And it's getting closer and it's closer, and people, you really need to pay attention to what's happening. I really like what Kellyanne, his gal, is doing, releasing a lot of these ads that Donald Trump held off, to which I thought, you know, when they stopped and I thought about it, I think, you know, if the timing is perfect, because people really do not start paying attention until you get closer and closer to the election.
That's exactly right.
That, to me, was a brilliant move on her part. And Trump is still, you know, he is my choice. I don't want any write-ins. I don't want any Gary Johnson.
No, no,
an absolute he's a buffoon to begin with.
God, he's an idiot. He's just an idiot. And he was on Megyn Kelly last night trying to, you know, it's my fault. Well, yeah, but you're running for president. You're supposed to know these things. These are like world occurrences. And by the way, in Aleppo, in Syria, they released some more gas, killing more people. And it turns out that it's Assad most likely doing this to his own people. And remember the red line that Obama drew. And if, boy, they crossed this line to use chemical weapons, well, they're going to catch hell for that. Well, that never happened. And, of course, now people are dying because of the, well, the guy who did nothing, the do-nothing president, Obama, the liar himself, people are dying because of him. That's exactly right. And even the world knows it, that Obama is a, well, he does not fulfill his obligations. And by the way, while we're, I just want to play this because I want everybody to hear this. This is him in Laos last night, yesterday, whatever, talking about Trump. Check this out. Let's just listen to this.
He's qualified to be president of the United States. And every time he speaks, that opinion is confirmed. And I think
recent
months. Okay, I don't know. He goes basically saying that Trump is unqualified to be president of the United States. Who's talking?
Yeah, the guy that isn't qualified to be anything, and he's not even qualified to be a dog catcher, Obama.
He's not qualified. I wouldn't let my kids stay the night with that family. I wouldn't let my dog stay the night with that family. I wouldn't let him change my bird cage.
Oh, absolutely.
No, I'm serious. This guy's an untrustworthy, evil piece of garbage. It's what he is. He is, call him for what he is. He is, I don't care what color he is. I don't care how old he is. I don't care his family life. I don't care he's halfway from Kansas, which he is. He is evil. He is a walking, talking, utopian, Marxist, communist man who has been sucking dry this country for 8 years on purpose and fundamentally transforming America to what he and his little group, his Soros group, thinks is best. What's best? For whatever they want, to whatever they can get. They're milking this country. Hillary's doing the same thing. That's what the left does. Enough already. Hello, Trump.
Oh, you know, Mr. Trump sees this happening, number one. Number two, you know, the crowds that he's drawing are, you know, 10 times those of Hillary Clinton, maybe 100 times, actually.
Right.
But what we really need to concentrate on is getting Donald Trump across the finish line, making him president. We've got to stop this nonsensical, you know, Texas, 14.6% here in Colorado.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Most people are aware of that. They don't want that. You know, they all want, of course it'll affect you.
Sure.
And then Obama, we talked about this just briefly yesterday, you know, $15 minimum wage. So I said, well, we'll settle for $12.
Right.
It's nice the way they lull people into something going, oh, well, that's not so bad. $12 beats a lot, beats $15. Same thing with gas prices. You know, the gas prices are, oh, well, you know, gas is 25 cents a gallon cheaper over here than it is over there, so we'll rush over there and get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just so much nonsense. You got to be able to start thinking things through. Nobody thinks anything through, to be honest with you.
No.
They don't have the intelligence to do so or the brains to figure it out.
Right.
What concerns me most, and we talked about this, is our young people. What they're being taught in these colleges, what they're being taught in high school, what they're being taught in grammar schools.
That's right.
They are being indoctrinated. They're being brainwashed
uh-huh.
to think a certain way. And that was the whole objective of Dr. Spock, Benjamin Spock, who
yes.
was a communist
absolutely.
To begin with.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, we've got to do the heavy work. And, you know, if we don't do it, no one else will. And that's because, and I look around, and I've got part of my family included,
mm-hmm.
are 97%ers.
Sure.
You know, the 3%ers are the ones that are carrying out the fight,
right.
that are doing what needs to be done to make sure we get the right individual in the White House.
Uh-huh.
Hillary Clinton is not that person. You know, she's a long, long way from it. I don't know. She likens herself to... Gouverneur, you know, who came from, I believe, my memory serves me correctly, from Denver to begin with.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I'll check it.
She was the Prime Minister of Israel. Very, very intelligent woman and really took Israel through some hard times. Hillary Clinton doesn't hold a candle to what Gouverneur is,
mm-hmm.
number one. And then you've got all of the people around the world, you know, the leaders. Putin, for one, the governor of the Philippines, who think Obama is a total idiot.
Yeah, they sure do.
You know, and
He earned their disrespect, absolutely.
Yeah, and he thinks he's the world savior. Well, he's not. You know, and I'll tell you what, Mr. Obama, when you walk on water, I want to be present to see what's going on.
Yes, exactly right, Carmen. Great call, man.
Okay. Have a great weekend. Yeah, bless. Keep looking up for our redemption draws near.
Got it, brother.
Talk to you soon.
All right, man. Thanks, Carmen. Tron in the Morning on TronShow.com. Golda Meir. She was born May 3rd, 1898. Where? Doesn't say. I think Carmen's right. I think it was in Denver. I don't know. I can't find it here. And I'm on Wikipedia, to be honest with you. So, I mean, don't trust Wikipedia, folks. That's one thing. But I didn't know where else to go. I didn't know where else to go. I went to Wikipedia. That was your first mistake. Oh, what does Bo Snerdly say? That's Rush's right-hand man there at the program. He's Snerdly. Says, no, we didn't owe Iran that $1.7 billion ransom payment. There's a story here that he links to at the New York Post that's worth looking at. Thank you, Bo. It says, New York Post, again, it's titled, no, we didn't owe Iran that $1.7 billion ransom payment. Amid all the fuss that Obama's ransom payment to Iran to free the U.S. hostages, less scrutinized is the president's justification for airlifting cash to Tehran, we all know about it, that we owed it to them. Well, it deserves more attention because the administration has failed to make its case. And it goes on through that. You can talk. Well, no, it was ransom. I mean, we don't have to go through the case. You don't have to make the case. We know the case. It's right here, by the way, if you want to look at it. It's at nypost.com. Folks, the left, they will do anything in your face, and they don't care if they're lying. They used to try to hide their lies. Now they're just in your face with them, expecting that nobody will call them. And they all seem to skate at present, right? They're all skating. Hillary, even at present, is skating right now. No, but you will be held accountable someday. For these things, they will be, if not in this world, the next. That's just the way it's going to be. You know, look, if you're ruining people's lives or letting people die, I mean, there's going to be some accountability that's going to come your way, whether you believe it or not. I mean, I know these are godless individuals, godless people. I understand all that. They will be held accountable someday. I would prefer, as you probably would, have them be held accountable now so we can get back on track. We can get back to work here. You know, and we do it, and these people, Where's that story? Hold on now. There it is. This is from our friend Joe Pollock. He's on this show. He says the polls are showing a narrowing gap between Clinton and Trump, thanks to, in part, to ongoing revelations about our secret email server, the way Clinton Foundation solicited foreign donations for favors from the State Department while in office and that sort of thing. But his title of the story is Blue State Blues, President Obama Will Have to Pardon Hillary Clinton. Yeah. Well, we've talked about that. In other words, if Clinton wins the election, what if she does? Well, she'd done so without the public ever seeing the full case against her, thanks to BleachBit. You know, Trump's been talking about that, the acid wash, computer digital acid wash, we understand that, and Cheryl Mills' abuse of attorney-client privilege. But if Hillary was to win, God help us, let's not let it happen. Okay, lots of prayer, lots of votes. All right. But, and in that order, too. But if she does take the oath of office next January, Joel says Clinton could still be prosecuted, you see, for perjury. How? Well, Congress has urged the Department of Justice to do, or for destroying federal records. Now, I know the DOJ is a political arm of Obama right now, but that's right now. The president does not have immunity from criminal prosecution for prior acts. That's the truth. So, not necessarily likely that these prosecutions will occur, not with Comey, not with him at the FBI. He's a political man now. You know, Bill O'Reilly sometimes gets it right. Last night he said on his show, James Comey is simply doing things now for political expediency. Well, yes, you and I knew that. I'm glad that Bill has come around and seen that in between writing books about death or whatever he does. Anyway, Pollock writes, also, the prosecutions are not likely unless we have a new group of appointees at Justice. But new evidence could emerge after November 8th that could force prosecutors to act. Now, Joe Pollock's not saying, he's over at Breitbart, by the way, Joe Pollock's not saying that she's going to win. He's just saying, if she does, then this, you see. He says, for example, a smoking gun email showing a direct quid pro quo arrangement between a State Department and a Clinton Foundation donor could well trigger new investigations, possible indictments, and prosecutions. So, yes, she's skating right now. And, of course, she is. And we understand that. And things are slow. And the gears of justice are definitely slow on purpose. But they will be back on track at some point, I suspect. Now, again, these people will be held accountable either now or later. That's going to happen one of these days. It would be best for this country if it would be now. But, this is what Joel says. He says, consider the investigation against Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich when it exploded in December in 2008 after Obama won. While Blagojevich only tried selling U.S. Trying to sell Obama's U.S. Senate seat, remember this, right, after the election, he was already under investigation. Some of Blagojevich's circle, including Tony Rezko, who was convicted, by the way, on unrelated charges and was close to Obama, who was not a target of the FBI investigation into Blagojevich and other members of what the Chicago Tribune columnist John Cass calls the Illinois Combine, or Combine, whatever. That's a machine they use in the wheat fields of Kansas, by the way. I know this. I'm from there. Anyway, the point is that the revelations can and do happen after Election Day. So she's not completely free and clear. Obviously not. So Joel says, theoretically, if Clinton is charged with crimes relating to her email server or the Clinton Foundation or the Benghazi cover-up, lots of possibilities there. She could be impeached, though it would be unlikely given the political risk. Now, Article 2, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution indeed provides for impeachment for, quote, treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. You know this. I know this. So the Clinton Foundation was a vehicle for bribery. We also know that. The Constitution does not specify if impeachment applies only to acts committed while in office. But after the experience of the first Clinton impeachment, Republicans are unlikely to go that route. Regardless, Hillary would begin her presidency under a cloud of suspicion, no doubt about it. Her election would be tainted by a sense of illegitimacy, which would weaken her politically as well as diplomatically. There's only one way to avoid that, says Joel, and this is Joel's opinion, and that is for President Obama to use his authority to pardon Clinton for all criminal acts that she may have committed until this, up to this point. He would be well within his constitutional authority to do so, even though Clinton has not even yet been charged with specific crimes, says Joel Pollock at Breitbart. Now, Obama could and probably would also pardon Clinton if she loses the election, you see. And this is what they're, this is one of their little, you know, this is one of their tools in their bat belt, you understand that. No offense to Batman. The question is whether voters want to elect somebody who needs the extraordinary remedy of a presidential pardon in order to serve effectively in the highest office. That's a great point, Joel. I'm glad you wrote this article, and I suggest everybody get hold of this as well. It's something to think about, of course, as we try to get people to vote for Donald Trump. I mean, there is no other choice, right? And it's like Trump said it. This is what I love about this guy. He's like, you may not like Trump. You may hate Trump. You may despise Trump. And this is Trump talking. You may say, he's the worst. But you got to vote for me. And he's right. He's right. He's not being egotistical. He's being pragmatic. That's exactly right. And that 70-year-old went out there and beat the tar out of 16 other people that wanted to be president. Now, if you didn't get the candidate you wanted, well, suck it up. Get with the program. Get over it. It's time to get over it. I've been saying that, but it is time now to get over it. You know, and I hear these Glenn Becks out there and these Eric Erickson's out there and the whine and the principles. If you have principles, then you know what to do. Your principles, if you're, you know, somehow, some way attached to reality, your principles would direct you, your conscience, if you will, because that's thrown out there too, vote your conscience. Yes, of course. That's exactly right. And I thank my friend Marcus Levinicus for saying that. Everybody's going to vote their conscience, of course. And they're also going to use common sense. That's what I say. It's common sense. So principles, sure, vote your principles. Principles are keep the country from going down the toilet even farther. We're already floating in it, but it's going to get flushed in a little bit. We don't want that. My name is Tron. It's TronShow.com you're listening to, and I thank you for it. Take a quick break. Come right back. We're going to talk climate change, top of the hour, and then we'll be done. And that's what we're doing. That's what's happening right now. You will find me at Facebook, Tron Simpson. You will find me on Twitter, at Tron Show. And we're live right now in Colorado Springs. Nothing fancy, but we're getting it done, right? You know what? I didn't do a giveaway this week, so I'm sorry. We'll do that. We're going to do some mason jar next week, I believe. And then some other books that are coming out, by the way. And I've had my disagreements with her, as you know, but I do not despise her or hate her. Ann Coulter was skewered, was just taken to the woodshed at this Rob Lowe roast. First of all, I don't encourage you to watch it because it's depraved. It's just depraved. I don't know why she got involved with it. I don't know, but I don't think this kind of stuff, I don't think she knew they were going to say these things that they said, but it was the most depraved dialogue conversation I've ever heard on television. And this was on, no, it wasn't on Comedy Central, not what I watched it. I watched it on TV Land. And I think I brought this up last week, earlier this week. But don't waste your time with it. It's just it's distressing, actually. And it was Family Hour. And the words they used, wow. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Just amazing. Anyway, I don't know what the deal was, why Ann was there. I guess she's a friend of Rob Lowe. That's fine. Whatever. We'll have her back on the show. But I hope she sells some books, because she makes some good points at times. I don't agree with her on a lot of things. She says some stuff that's like Trump. He says some stuff that it's unnecessary. But, you know, we all have filter problems at times, don't we? Of course we do. We're all human. We're all imperfect. And we have an imperfect world. So let's do the best we can with who we got. You know, everybody's got something to offer. If they're willing to offer it. The left, not so. They all want it for them. And they eat their own. We all know this. All right. Break. Come right back. Stay tuned. Tron in the Morning. TronShow.com. It's Friday. Thank God it's Friday. I like yours too, Carmen. That was pretty good. We'll be right back. TronShow.com. We're live.
Hi, y'all. This is Chad Daniels. You're listening to Tron in the Morning.
There are two things you need every day. The first one is cash, and the second one is Tron in the Morning. Thank you.
Know what that is? That's a mason jar. You know what Colorado Springs has? A restaurant called the Mason Jar. That's right, the Mason Jar. It's a family restaurant right here in Colorado Springs. They're located at 2925 West Colorado Avenue at 30th Street. And you can call ahead for takeout, or maybe you want to set up a party. Here's the phone number, 719-632-4820. And they're on the web at masonjarcolorado.com. You want to start out with an appetizer like I do, zucchini and mushrooms, or red onion rings, mozzarella cheese sticks. I know they have a sampler platter as well. Salads and soups are fantastic there. I love the balsamic vinegar. And then it's time for the entree. Do you like fried chicken? That's my favorite at the Mason Jar. If you like sandwiches or burgers, you bet. They've got the All-American Burger, the Blue Cheeseburger, the Bacon Cheeseburger, and on it goes. They even have a Philly cheesesteak and a French dip. And they have fish for you fish lovers. Fresh Rocky Mountain rainbow trout, fish and chips, and southern fried catfish. And don't forget the wild Pacific salmon.
I'll never forget the wild Pacific salmon. It's all at the Mason Jar in Colorado Springs. So if you're in the area, go in there, stop by. If you're coming to Colorado Springs, get in there, stop by, and feast. They're at 2925 West Colorado. It's the Mason Jar. It's a family restaurant in Colorado Springs, and they do serve their drinks in Mason Jars. The Mason Jar in Colorado Springs.
I love it. I have mixed Folgers coffee with Paul Newman Keurig coffee. I talk about Keurig coffee. I have a Keurig. So when I leave the house and come over here to the studio, I have a Keurig cup of coffee, right? And I get over here and I make some Folgers. But I added this time my coffee that I brought over. It's Paul Newman Keurig coffee with the Folgers. It's really good. It's like, I don't know, Dunkin' Donuts tasting. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. It probably is. And why do you care? I'm going to have a little fun here mixing coffee. I'm making potions, baby. That's what I'm doing. All right. So over at Drudge Report. Oh, I wanted to check the headline or the stock market because it was, it's been kind of anemic this whole week. Let's see what was going on right now. Let's see. That's anemic. Oh, it's terrible. The Dow Jones is down 186 points. What's that going on? Oh, I bet it's that Wells Fargo thing. NASDAQ is down 46. S&P's down 23. Gold is even down $4. So that's not good. But it's not real either. I understand that. I always have to say that, don't I? Well, because people will actually think I think it's real if I don't say that. All righty now. The DOJ reportedly granted immunity to computer expert who deleted the Clinton emails. Did you hear about this? This is over at Fox News this morning. The Department of Justice reportedly gave immunity to a computer expert who deleted the Democrat presidential candidate Hillary Clinton's emails during its investigation into her private email server, despite being ordered by Congress to keep them. Shame, shame. The New York Times reported yesterday that the Justice Department immunity deal with Paul Combetta likely means that the Republican lawmakers' calls for federal authorities to investigate his deletions will go unheard. Oh, my goodness. So hard to get these people, right? The top Republican on the House Oversight Committee, Representative Jason Chaffetz from Utah, had asked the Justice Department to investigate whether Hillary Clinton, her lawyers, or Combetta obstructed justice when the emails were deleted in March of 2015. The FBI said when Clinton's team called Platte River Networks, that's down there in Denver, you know, that's where Corbetta worked. The FBI said when Clinton's team called Platte River, Corbetta said he realized he didn't follow a December 2014 directive from Clinton's lawyers to have the emails deleted. He then used BleachBit, there's that BleachBit, to delete the messages in the days after the meeting with the lawyers. Now that is unscrupulous, isn't it? That is untoward. That is nefarious. So, the Times, citing the FBI's notes, reported that Combetta initially told the agency in February that he did not recall deleting the emails, but changed his story in May. In February, he told federal investigators he didn't remember seeing an order from the Benghazi Investigation Committee, which Cheryl Mills had sent to Platte River Networks to keep the emails. However, in the May interview, he did say at the time that he deleted the emails, quote, he was aware of the existence of the preservation request and the fact that it meant he should not disturb Clinton's email data on the Platte River Network. Well, Combetta is the second person, right? Remember the other guy. The second person to be given immunity in the investigation into Clinton's private email server. The other guy was Brian Pagliano, IT specialist. And he was a staff member at the Clinton 2008 presidential campaign. He was given immunity in exchange for answers into how he was able to set up Clinton's homebrew server that was set up at her Chappaqua, New York residence around the time she started working at the state. So the FBI described the deletions in its notes of its investigation into Clinton's account that was released last week. Though Combetta's name has been redacted, law enforcement sources familiar with the investigation identified him as the person who received immunity and deleted Clinton's emails to the New York Times. Well, Brian Fallon, this is the Clinton campaign spokes guy, right? He told the Times that he deleted the emails. He said that the deleted emails had already been investigated by the FBI before its decision to close the case. Quote, as the FBI report notes, neither Hillary nor her attorneys had knowledge of the Platte River Network employee's action. It appears he acted on his own and against guidance given by both Clinton and Platte River attorneys to retain all data in compliance with a congressional preservation request, said Fallon. The House Oversight Committee had badgered the Justice Department to investigate whether Clinton had lied to Congress about her email account testimony given last October. Well, lawmakers have also asked Platte River, the officials there, and Combata to appear at a hearing before the committee on Tuesday about how the email was set up and how exactly the messages were deleted. This stuff will come to a head one day, folks. And yes, she may be let go, pardoned, whatever. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But here's the thing. As a voter, we're done with these people. We've had enough. And even if they aren't, you know, tried or indicted and tried and found guilty and whatever, and if they are pardoned, we've had enough of these people. Let's get them out of the way calmly, securely, emphatically, pragmatically. Let's vote them out. Let's make sure she doesn't get in. And I know that you get these stories out there, Colorado will never, Hillary's got Colorado, she's pulled her ads out of Colorado. That doesn't mean a ding-dong thing. That's what, you know, these little press people out there, folks, that's another thing we have to remember. We really do. I have to remember this, too. These people who write at the big ones, you know, the ABC, the NBC, the CBS, the Hill, wherever. These are just people. These are just people. They do make a story. They take facts and they embellish. We understand that. And they will take things that are completely untrue and try to make them true and try to scare you or to deflate you. This is what they're doing. The media doesn't want Donald Trump. Good God, no. Oh, Lord, no. Mitch McConnell doesn't want Donald Trump. Paul Ryan doesn't want Donald Trump. Bill Kristol doesn't want Donald Trump. Jonah Goldberg doesn't want Donald Trump. Eric Erickson doesn't. No, come on. Glenn Beck doesn't want Donald Trump. These people, because their lives will be shaken and their stream of money will be taken. You see, that's the whole thing. It's all about money. Well, Glenn Beck can go on off of his principles and so forth and so on, and he can just... I heard him on Levin last night. But I have a book out. It's called Liars. I'm just like, good God. Why are you even on the show? Why are you on... What, you know, and it's a cabal. I understand that, too. I get it. You know, these are the people that all live in a bubble. They all do. Rush lives in a bubble. Levin lives in a bubble. They all do. I like Rush and Levin. But the truth is, they live in a bubble. Now, they may not be terribly affected, and I hope they're not, because those two men I like and I do respect. I've had my disagreements, certainly with Levin, when he was became a never-Trumper, and then blamed it on Roger Stone. That was nonsensical. Also inconsequential, but nonsensical. So these people, they don't live and breathe the same air as you and I. They are in their own little world. Now, that said, again, I like those two guys, but it's the people at the ABC, the NBC, the CBSs, and they have these writers out there, and they have a directive, and they have to write pro-Democrat, anti-Republican, if you will, conservative, whatever. So they're going to take stories like, Colorado will never go with Trump. There's no way. It's not possible. Oh, she's so far ahead. They've pulled the advertising. Well, we'll see. We'll see. And I'm well aware of Boulder, and I'm well aware of Denver, but there are other people in this state, and there are people that are in Boulder, that are in Denver, that have been taking a spanking financially for quite some time now, and they're a little tired of it, too. You know, they may be abortion proponents. They may be this and that. But they also like to have some money, okay? Even bad people or misguided people would like to keep the money they make, right? So when it comes down to it, these people may go just into that booth and say, I can't vote for this Hillary. She's a witch. And I can't vote for this because 8 years I've been clobbered financially. And I'm a big leftist in my little group. And I'm a professor. Or I'm a business owner. And I believe that Planned Parenthood is just fine. But I can't afford it anymore. So these people may indeed vote for Donald Trump. That's not people that you and I would care to be with. But they're butts in seats. My point is, we need voters. We need bodies to pull levers, to fill in oval spaces on their ballot card for Donald Trump. And the funny thing is that some of these people that are getting, you know, a whiff of truth, they're getting, I smell truth. Maybe Obama is a scallywag. What a great word, scallywag. And you know, whatever their personal beliefs are, whatever their social issue beliefs are, that does take... It takes a second. It takes a back seat, folks. It just does. We know it does. It's the money that matters. Where's the money? Is it being taken from me? And this goes on not just with the Republicans and conservatives, but it also goes with Democrats. They feel the pinch, okay? They may have felt the burn, but they also feel the pinch. And they don't like to be pinched. Nobody likes to be pinched. It hurts. And it's annoying. And you want to slap somebody, right? What are you pinching me for? Okay. So stop pinching. So these people... They've been pinching pennies because they've been pinched by the present administration. So they may be changing their minds. So my point is, of all this, is the media is doing everything they can to prop up Hillary and try to downplay and or destroy Trump, as they always do. But the people out here that are going to drive the highways today, avoid potholes, fill up their gas tank, fix a window, feed their cat, everybody, whatever they're doing, whatever their vacation, whatever their age, whatever their color, if they're feeling a financial pinch, they're probably going to see there's a better way, or at least it's worth the gamble, as we were talking about earlier this morning, to try to get somebody else. And Obama's not working. Obama's working against everybody. And these Democrats, many of them know that. And they're tired of it. They're tired of losing their money, their discretionary dollars. They can't go on vacations. They can't buy a car. They can't do anything. So that's, again, just to circle back here, don't believe everything the media is trying to tell us, right? And I know you know that too, but I have to remind myself, they're just little penny-ante operators with computers writing these stories that, in fact, in many cases, are not true, and they're there to defend the Democrats. And Colorado could certainly go for Trump. So could all the other swing states. There are people out there that have not been tapped yet, and they're going to show up to those polls. And I have a suspicion that there are a lot of people out there that are also sick of being pinched. My name is Tron. We're going to talk climate change with my friend Tom Harris next on Tron in the Morning at TronShow.com. Hang out. We'll be right back. Tron here with you. It is Colorado Springs weather, and it's beautiful. Let me tell you something. It's not fall yet, but it will be. Football's back in action. Oh, and fall. It's one of the four seasons that we experience here in Colorado. It's wonderful. Well, a gentleman, scholar, and all-around good guy joins us again. His name's Tom Harris. Tom, how are you, sir?
Oh, pretty good. How are you, Tron?
I'm quite well. Where are you today?
Well, today I'm back at home in Ottawa.
Ottawa.
And it's a nice day. You know, it's maybe 70 degrees.
Well, that's about right for this time of year, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nothing unusual going on here.
Well, Tom, tell everybody, and I know we've done this before, but tell everybody what you do in your vocation.
Yeah, sure. I'm the executive director of the International Climate Science Coalition. It's a group that was mm-hmm. formed in 2007 by the New Zealand Climate Science Coalition when they got so much international interest in their nonpartisan science-based approach that they needed a group to represent them internationally at conferences and things like that. So they created the ICSC, our group, and the next year I was brought in as executive director. We have 25 science advisors, people that are leading experts in the field,
right.
who simply don't believe that we are causing dangerous climate change. They don't question whether climate change is real or things like that.
Sure.
So we're certainly not climate change deniers. But we think that the money that's being spent, which is $1 billion a day, if uh-huh. you can believe that, there are many, wow. many better uses than trying to control climate that might change in 50 years.
Indeed. Tom Harris, executive director of the International Climate Science Coalition. You know, I wanted to mention this to you as well. This past week, we had a story come out here in Colorado Springs at The CU at Boulder's, I guess you'd call it satellite school or whatever you call it. It's UCCS here, and there are a couple of professors that teach an online class, and they have decided that if you don't believe the 98% of scientists say climate change is real, man-made global is worrying, don't bother taking the class because that will not be discussed, and if you are against that particular narrative, you're not welcome. Did you hear that?
Oh, yes. In fact, it was publicized worldwide. Mm-hmm. It doesn't give a very good reputation to that school.
No!
And if I were the dean of that particular faculty, I'd say to them, look, you know, science is all about skepticism. Science is about questioning.
Yes,
otherwise,
sir.
We'd be stuck back in, you know, Plato's time thinking the Earth was flat.
Right.
You know, Einstein was perhaps one of the best-known skeptics. And the interesting thing is that Einstein was left-wing. In fact, the left used to pride themselves on their skepticism and tolerance of alternative points of view. Well, not on this topic, you know. It's
right
upside down. We have the left that are trying to enforce political correctness, and the people on the right are legitimately questioning this very complex field.
Because if the debate is over, as Barack Obama, who is not a scientist, he's not much of anything anymore, but you know what I'm saying. If he's saying that the debate is over, well, I guess there's no reason to have science anymore, certainly in regard to whether anything else.
Well, that's exactly what happened in Australia.
Right?
In fact, they promised to fire or let go hundreds of research scientists from the Australian Government Climate Research Group because they said, well, look, now we're on to implementation. We don't need scientists to study this field anymore. We know it's going to happen, so we have to reduce greenhouse gases. Oh, well, suddenly the scientists are saying the science isn't really settled. We actually still need to do our work. And there was a big fight, and now they're only laying off about 30 of the scientists. But still, I mean, that's the obvious conclusion. I mean, what you said is that if the science is settled, then why do we need all the scientists?
Exactly. It's just like, okay, well, I guess that's just another way of taking away jobs. I don't know, but I'll tell you something. I'm not a scientist, Tom. I might have took science in school and so forth, but I also learned in third grade, Tom, that carbon dioxide, well, it's interesting because we breathe it out and the plants bring it in and they make it oxygen. That's actually proven, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. In fact, it is plant food. It's the vital essential for photosynthesis along with water vapor and sunlight, of course. And, you know, the interesting thing is they actually distort the language, I think, the actual founders of the movement. They do it on purpose.
Sure.
You know, they call it carbon pollution.
Mm-hmm.
Carbon, of course, is soot and graphite, and it makes you think of something dark and dirty. Well, carbon dioxide is one of the many compounds of carbon. Carbon actually makes more compounds than any other substance on Earth. You know, some are poison, like there's carbon in PCBs and things like that, but then some of them are like hummingbirds and us and carbon dioxide. So they take the oxygen off the CO2 molecule, and they're just left with carbon, which sounds dirty. And, you know, even people on our side call it carbon tax and trade.
Right.
Carbon, well, they shouldn't. They should call it carbon dioxide, because then anybody with a grade 5 education will know that it's plant food. You know, it's kind of like taking water, which is H2O, dropping the O and calling it hydrogen. I mean, it makes no sense at all. So it's a trick. It's part of the changes in language that have been designed to support the climate scare.
And interestingly enough, some facts that I found at your website, that the belief that climate is changing among Republicans was at 56% last fall. Guess what? Now it's down to 39%. I guess the word's getting out, Tom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Donald Trump is making a great contribution to this. You know, just recently on the 26th of July, he told Fox News, in talking about man-made climate change, I say it could have a minor impact. But nothing to what they're talking about. So, I mean, he is right on the money there. He is completely right.
Yes.
And, you know, that, according to this survey at the University of Michigan, they think that that is indeed Donald Trump's candid, you know, being so candid is the reason that there's a big shift. And another statistic out of that survey showed that the Republicans are uncertain about climate change has doubled from 13% to 26% in the past 12 months. So other Republicans have got to start doing that, too. I mean, some already do, like Senator Inhofe from Oklahoma. But we need all of them to start saying what Trump is saying.
Talking to Tom Harris, again, Executive Director of the International Climate Science Coalition. And they got a great website, too, by the way. You need to check it out. The website is climatescienceinternational.org, right?
That's right.
Now, Tom, there's that pesky Obama again. Now, apparently he wants to bypass the Senate and get that climate accord ratified himself, huh?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, the whole concept is that the developing world will follow us if we cut our throats by trying to reduce our cheapest form of electricity, which is, of course, coal.
Yeah.
But, in fact, there's no chance of that happening. What most people don't realize, even people on our side, is that the Paris Agreement is based on something called the Framework Convention on Climate Change, which was signed by, for example, the first President Bush in 1992 in Rio. And it says there very, very clearly, not once, but several times, it says the first and overriding priority of developing nations is poverty alleviation and development, not greenhouse gas reduction, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to happen is that countries like China will promise to do all sorts of things, and so we'll follow along. But they won't do it because coal is their cheapest form of electricity, and if they're really going to develop and if they're really going to pull their people out of poverty, the last thing they're going to do is turn off their coal stations. So we're going to find about 10 years from now, if we go ahead with this, if in fact the next president doesn't rescind it or people declare it illegal because he's supposed to go through the Senate on a treaty like this. But if we go ahead, people are going to start noticing, oh, that's interesting, the Chinese aren't doing it. And they'll say yes, and that's completely permitted according to the base document. They even cornered the Chinese delegate in Peru a year and a half ago at the climate conference. And they said to him, look, you know, are you going to renegotiate the basics of this particular agreement so that all the world is really covered? And the Chinese ambassador, the Chinese delegate, he said, no, our purpose is to enforce the agreement, not to change it.
Interesting indeed. Tom Harris, I tell you, this stuff is, I mean, to go to your website, we're up to speed on everything that has to do with this, right? You guys are always offering new information, new stories, new articles, right?
Well, yeah, and the best place for them to go for the latest in science is the climate, Climate Change Reconsidered,
okay?
That's the non-governmental international panel on climate change, and their website is climatechangereconsidered.org. It has thousands of research papers that show that the climate scare is largely bogus.
They're exactly right. These are facts, and you know, it really comes down to common sense as well. And this is exactly what we want to get out there to the older voters, the newer voters, the people out there that have succumbed to indoctrination, if you will. And you know, and just know, especially with this silly, silly little couple of professors here in Colorado Springs trying to sell their wares, and they're not proven that you will not have this discussion. You know, parents and kids, please, you got to do your homework before you send your kids to certain schools. Understand this and then speak out against stuff like this. The truth matters, and that's it. Tom, can I have you on again in about a week? Can we do this again?
Yeah, we should talk more about Obama because he is trying to ram this through without Senate's approval, and, you know, this is deadly.
Yes, it's very deadly. I'll talk to your publicist again. I want to make sure we book another day for this because I want to stay in touch with you, sir.
Okay, that's great, Tron.
Well, you're great, man. Tom Harris, God bless you, sir. Keep rocking and rolling up there and enjoy your 70 degrees.
Okay, you're great, too.
Thank you, Tom.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ah, what an affable guy, right? And he's just sitting there telling the truth about climate change. And, you know, it's just, yes, carbon dioxide is good for the plants. And then the oxygen that they make is good for us. And it takes a fifth grader to understand that. I love it. Yes, we're going to have Tom back on. I got to get him on KVOR, too. I want that audience to hear him as well. So we're live at TronShow.com. About to call it a day, but I want to go over some things here just in case I've missed anything. Hold on now. Just a second here. I go over here. Daily Caller. I wanted to see if Kerry Pickett had any stories published this morning. Let's see. I'll read the stories at Daily Caller, and I like this website. Let me just get past this little pop-up. There we go. Georgetown slave descendants want $1 billion for reconciliation. It's not about reparations, they say. Georgetown slave descendants want $1 billion for reparations. Everybody wants a dollar, right? And they'll come up with any excuse. Justice Department, granted, we talked about this, granted immunity to technician who used bleach bit to delete Hillary's emails. Oh, and Clinton says, men bullied me while I was taking the law school admissions test.
What do you mean? Men bullied me.
Oh, Lord have mercy. It's really a story. I'm not going to read it, but it's there at the Daily Caller. Pelosi on the Clinton emails. You know what she said?
Let's just move on from this. Let's just move on. I got to get a stretch at 3, and I don't want to be late. I got to get my face stretched.
Shut up, Nancy, with the impossible to laugh face. Pence defends Trump, inarguable that Putin has been a stronger leader than Obama. We talked about that. There's no question about it. Doesn't mean you agree with what Putin does. It means he's a stronger leader. It's easy to understand if you believe that common sense is important to you and an aspect of your life on Earth, you know? Okay, so there's Daily Caller. Now let's go to newsbusters.org. Newsbusters. We didn't have any guests from Newsbusters this week, did we? We had Dan Gaynor on, I think. But anyway, Washington Post, they have a story here at newsbusters.org. Don't let minor email scandal empower a dangerous man. Oh, God, I got to open this one up. Hold on now. This is written by Christine Marsh. She's been here many times. And she says, in perhaps their most brazen pro-Hillary article yet, the Washington Post editorial board on Friday came out swinging at conservatives, independents, Democrats, and football players. Matt Lauer and anyone else who dare question Hillary's private emails, or don't you dare. With much hand-wringing and pearl-clutching, the Post staff opined that history would judge America for obsessing over a minor email scandal that empowered a dangerous man to become president. Ironically, the paper staff took the exact opposite approach to the emails just a few months ago, by the way, and you can read that too. All that said, the left is freaking out. It's important to note that the left is freaking out. They're losing their lunch, folks. They are what Sean Hannity, I heard say yesterday, they're crapping their pants. They are. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. Their narrative is falling apart. Their protection of Hillary is collapsing. Donald Trump is gaining support in, yes, swing states, including Colorado. So they don't know what to do. They're between a rock and a hard place. And it's great. See, we're on our way. We're working it. We got to keep working it. Donald Trump got this yesterday. Clinton praised Obama's handling of VA. Clinton said, quote, I think Secretary McDonald is doing a great job. Well, you know, if you remember Secretary Bob McDonald, he's the guy who went out to a homeless guy and he lied to him. Bob McDonald was part of Special Forces. He lied to this guy. No, he wasn't. And he said, I did that so I could help him. Oh, okay. Liar. That's all. He's a liar. Don't want you. Get him out. He should have been out long ago, but there he is. Wait, there's more, and I promise we'll be out of here. Where is it? There it is, Trump. Statement on second Clinton email specialist granted immunity. Here's what Trump said about that, and we talked about it. Quote, a computer specialist who deleted Hillary's emails despite orders from Congress to preserve them was given immunity by the Justice Department during the investigation. And here's what Jason Miller, correspondent or communications guy over at the Trump campaign, says this. Quote, the revelation that a second individual was giving an immunity deal in Hillary Clinton's email scandal only underscores the need for a special prosecutor to be appointed. Not only did Clinton IT staffer who set up their illicit server take action to avoid prosecution, so did the IT worker who deleted her emails while they were under a preservation order from Congress. It's hard to not look at this and see a concerted effort to keep Hillary's State Department emails from seeing the light of day, and the mounting evidence of corruption involving the Clinton Foundation. And it shows there was plenty to hide. That's from the Trump. You know, and let me give some credit here. These guys over at the Trump Communications Department, these guys, I mean, they're on it. They send out emails immediately. I hope you're getting them. I do get them, and I don't think I'm not anybody special. I'm just getting them. I think I'm on a list, and I'm glad I'm on that list. But when stuff happens, when there's a town hall from Hillary or whatever, or Trump, or there's news out there, these guys on their stationery, they get these emails out, and they do it lickety-split. That is awesome. That is great. Now, people are getting on Trump. He doesn't have any ground game. Oh, yes, he does. He certainly does. He also has a communications game. He's communicating 24/7. Keep it up, Trump. Keep it up, Jason. Keep it up, you guys, okay? And that's what we need to do. You don't have to like Trump. You don't have to like any of them. You know, it doesn't make any difference, okay? This isn't a personal deal. This is a saving of America deal. This is self-preservation. This is a sovereign country that is losing the sovereignty. This is a country that's losing its liberty bit by bit, and it's becoming a little bit more than a bit and a drip. It's becoming a flow, okay? It's like the carotid artery of this country has been cut and it's bleeding out. It's got to stop, and this is how we're going to stop it. You can call Donald Trump whatever you want. You can say that he's a three-marriage man, and he said 2 Corinthians, and he's had bankruptcies. But you know what else? You can stop the bleeding with a stopgap president. That's what Donald Trump could very well be. And I would also contend that Donald Trump could be actually an exceptional president, okay? You know, that's the thing. That's what people don't realize. That's what these Never Trumpers don't. They don't see it. They're in a fog, whether it's because of a bubble they live in or because of some petulance that they experience day in, day out. I don't know. But I know this. The possibility of Donald Trump actually being an amazing president is there. It's there. And yes, he could be a terrible president too. But what he's saying right now, he's speaking truth to power. He was doing it when he got into the race. He's doing it now. This is why he is where he is. And he is the GOP nominee. He is competing against one of the most evil, corrupt people this country's ever seen, Hillary Clinton. And whether she's pardoned or whatever, she skates, that's not my business, right? And my business is to make sure that I understand that there is only one way to stop the stupid, stop the bleeding, and protect the country, and that is to vote for Donald Trump. There is no other way right now, folks. It is a binary choice. You may like somebody else, but they're not going to win. Gary Johnson has been found to be a fraud, okay? Bill Weld, that's just true. And, of course, Jill Stein, you know, why do we even bring her up? Truth is, Hillary versus Donald, Donald versus Hillary. There's one person in there that seems to mean business. The other person means to, you know, increase her business. That's just the truth of the matter. So we keep on. We keep beating on it. That's what we're going to do. We keep exposing this this leftism, the statism, this Marxism, this communism. It's what it is. It's anti-American, totally. Anti-military. Anti-Israel, by the way. Anti-God. This is Antichrist. The Democrat Party is Antichrist. Not the Antichrist. I'm talking about Antichrist. They're against what the Bible says, who the Bible speaks of, and that is the truth of the matter. And this country was founded on exactly the opposite. So here's the deal on Sunday. We got Daniel Huddy. Daniel Ruddy. Why don't we say Huddy? Daniel Ruddy will join us. He's got a new book out about Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt. It's called Teddy Roosevelt's History of the United States. Looks like a pretty interesting book. I haven't read it yet. I just got it yesterday. Ed Martin, co-author with the late, great Phyllis Schlafly, who passed away this week. He will join us with his book called The Conservative Case for Trump. Phyllis Schlafly actually is the prominent writer of this book. And so we'll talk to Ed Martin, president of Eagle Forum, on Sunday on 740 KVR. Also, my friend Liz Peek will join us from FoxNews.com and FiscalTimes.com. Love that lady. She's great. She's always on Varney and Company. She's a very smart numbers lady, and more than that. Laura Carno will join us. If you haven't heard her spot yet, and whether you're in Colorado or not, you should. Go to lauracarno.com, lauracarno.com, C-A-R-N-O, and hear the spot. It's an anti-Michael Bennett spot. It's Bennett. Do nothing Bennett in the Senate, and we are trying to elect Daryl Glenn, which is also important. And please, even if you're not in Colorado, if you can help out, support, you know, write letters, send emails, whatever. Daryl Glenn is who we want to replace Michael Bennett. It's possible. Again, it's very possible. It's like neck and neck, apparently. So that's the plan on Sunday on 740 KVR, 1 p.m. Local time, 3 p.m. Eastern. And then back here again Monday, because next week's like a real regular work week, as they say, at 7 a.m. So that's it for this week on TronShow.com. I thank you guys for being a part of this. Please tell your friends about it, too. We don't do anything fancy. We just get it done. That's what we do here, okay? As imperfect as this show is, we use it. We don't abuse it. And that's exactly what we're trying to do in this country. We have imperfect tools. Let's use them. They're available. We may get better ones down the road. But in the meantime, we use what we got. And let's see. Something else. Oh, and congratulations, Denver Broncos. Yay! Yay! We won by 1 point. 1 point! That was a close one, boys and girls. All right, I will see you, if not Sunday, at 1 p.m. Mountain Time. I'll see you here at 7 a.m. Mountain Time on Monday. And this show will play throughout the day, throughout the weekend. Have a great weekend. Enjoy. Eyes wide open, ears clear. God bless you. We'll see you on Sunday, again, 1 p.m., Monday, 7 a.m., right here on TronShow.com. See you later.